Gamescom's presentation has come and gone, and I keep seeing comments about a resounding meh, which I think is awfully ironic, but maybe this is just my inner Grandpa Simpson coming out yet again. Meanwhile, I'll be over here waiting to play another horror game involving a camera so I can ramp up my personal paranoias all over again. Horror games done right. This is one of many headlines you expected to hear, and now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to go into detail about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 882 of our show for this August the 29th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and let's talk about video games. We're going to talk about some video games with my co-hosts. Say hello first off to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. You're looking great. I love your new hair that you have. Which,
Hold on. I have to do it.
Well, while you do it, which folks can see if they, yes, she's shaking out her hair. Sorry. Which folks can see if they watch live, over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network or VOG Network Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. But we know it's a podcast. We try not to rely too much on the visuals, but I had to comment on Dark Sakura's red, lovely hair she's got going on there. So kudos.
It's a gradient.
Kudos to your barber. Whoever they may be.
Well, thank you. Yeah. My friend Hillary is awesome. She does great work. She is worth every penny I pay. but this was a long time coming. Because you remember when I went black?
I do, of course, yeah.
Well, we let it grow and we let it grow and we let it grow just for the sake of being able to do a red to black gradient.
Oh, clever. Some advanced planning. I like that. We do, of course.
There are pictures of me blonde and y'all will never see them.
We do have our live chat room that gives us some comments here. Pod Culture mentions Sassy Do. So, I think SJ100 Matt says whoosh. I think this is very clearly you could be in a shampoo commercial if you wanted. But anyway.
Well, right. It's just expensive styling products.
All right. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki with the short hair that isn't gradient or styled. But that's okay. Hi, Loki.
Doesn't have to be. It's too short.
That's okay. You don't have to hide yours under a hat like I do. Because mine's a little out of control right now because it's about time to shave it off.
You don't have to hide yours either.
I don't. And actually, I've done a few shows here at OLR without a hat. But here's the thing. With Dragon Con coming up this week, I'm actually waiting until like the last minute to give myself a fresh buzz. And then I'll go out to Dragon Con Le Bald. So those that I will see there this year, you have that to look forward to. So under the hat, but I will still have plenty of hats at Dragon Con. Loki, what is the game playing behind you tonight on Twitch? You usually run a little video game behind you there on the green screen.
It's Shadowrun on the SNES.
Oh, it sure is. It took me a minute to recognize it. And the minute you said it, I'm like, it sure is Shadowrun.
Because my head's in the way, so you can't really see it.
Yeah. But I can see enough now that I make out the character and there was a screen just before that. I gotcha. That's a classic. That's a good one. I was playing games today, too. We will get into our gaming weeks here after we do the kickoff topic. But I have to quickly mention, I ran into the studio not long before showtime today. It was a little better than I was expecting, but I went to an Ingress event this morning in San Francisco. So my buddy Azette, who sometimes listens to the show, who also plays the game, we got in a car here at 9 a.m., drove out to San Francisco. We actually got there. The traffic gods were very good today. We parked at about 10:45, which is kind of unheard of for a trip to San Francisco to only really actually be an hour and a half. And then we did what's called a mission day, did a bunch of missions around there, and they did this thing called a van event where you like hack the van, basically. And then we got in the car and came back. And the traffic gods were a little meaner on the way home, but I still made pretty good time home. So
hacking a van, isn't that like hot wiring?
Something like that. It's hacking the planet. No,
is it one of those free candy vans that I've heard about?
Yes, except it ties into the lore of Ingress, but I don't play video games for lore. Well, that's not true. Sometimes I really get into the lore, like a lot of the Final Fantasy games. There's many video games where I'm just like, I don't care about the lore. I just want to play the game, and Ingress is one of them. So the van is something about detecting XM. I don't know. It plays into the story somehow. So being able to, because it travels, it's a moving portal. So let me, because I know hardly anyone plays Ingress. So let me give the analogy to Pokemon Go. Imagine if a Pokestop moved from city to city. That's basically what the van kind of is, which I guess actually the van has shown up as a temporary Pokestop sometimes, because there people will post it to Reddit going, "What the hell is this?" as a Pokestop. So it's kind of funny.
It's just the government spying on you. It's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Take this Pikachu in return. Here's all your we take all your privacy.
which is honestly true. All right.
We're just going to Pikachu at your network package.
How would you like to buy all of these Pokemon products now?
Let's get into the gaming news of the week. We're going to start off with our kickoff topic tonight that has to do with Gamescom, because there was quite a bit of information that came out of Gamescom about what to expect this coming year, including Xbox did their own event, and then we had the opening night live event from Jeff Keighley, you know, who does the Game Awards and has done, you know, did that E3 Summer Game Fest. So I feel like he does three or four of these types of big to-do press conference. I keep calling press conferences, but they're really like media events, media spectacles every year. And I'm going to get just right into it, Loki, because I need the details, because I saw the tweets. So opening night live, we talked about this last week on OLR. We knew there was going to be a Saints Row reboot that was going to be announced at this. It was like way past rumor status to where they were tweeting like teaser images and stuff. So yeah, they actually showed us a little glimpse of what the next Saints Row game looks like. And Saints Row, I know, is one of your very favorite series, Loki, although you kind of like the Saints Row 2 era of the game.
Well, I still like Saints Row. Okay, so like Saints Row as a game, let's imagine. So they did announce the Saints Row reboot, which is just being
so. Tell us your thoughts, Loki, on this reboot.
I'm getting there. Okay, so they have the reboot that they announced. It's coming out February 25th next year, and it takes place in this new city called Santo Elysio, which is kind of like, think of like a Vegas type of thing. Okay. And so it's a little bit more of like that kind of type of environment, or maybe like Arizona, New Mexico, that type of thing. And so they showed it off, like, and here's a good indicator of how I thought it was. So I saw the trailer, and to myself, before I even knew it was Saints Row, I'm like, I really hope this isn't Saints Row. I really hope this isn't Saints Row. And then I saw, you know, I forget to call it. I saw the purple. I saw the symbols. I'm like, oh God, it is Saints Row, isn't it? So here's the problem. So Saints Row had a really great cast of characters that really kind of drove this series. Like, I always talk about, you know, like Johnny Gat in the game, like very awesome character. And you know, even just like Julius and like all really characters, you know, given to life by like really big name stars. These characters were as generic as possibly it could be. Like, and this is, and granted, this is not a gameplay trailer they showed. This is like a cinematic trailer, I guess. but even like with cinematic trailers, like in the past with like Saints Row 3 and stuff, have been really awesome. Like, just really, like, nailing home, this is the vibe of the game. Like, this is going to be really cool. All this, the only vibe I got from this is, like, this is the most generic game I've ever seen.
Can I jump to the punchline here, Loki, though? And that you're going to buy it anyway, though, right?
We'll see. But here's the thing. Okay, we'll see. So, like, probably I will buy it. But, like, here's the problem. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sure the game is a good game. But what they showed does not convey anything about the series. So, for example, like one of the things that the voice actress or the actress that was in the presentation basically said, I'm the new boss in this game. Not exactly, okay? Because they do still have the character customization. She's basically playing the female voice actress for the role.
Okay.
They usually have a male role as well. But it wasn't conveyed at all. So right there, like, people thought immediately, oh, so there's no customization anymore? And this, you know, what's up with that? And then, you know, it wasn't conveyed also with the co-op, the like co-op in the game. So there's a whole lot of details that they didn't really talk about, and gameplay that they showed was just so minimal. And yeah, the game looks like Saints Row when you play it, but also they talking about like, oh, let's bring it back a little bit less ridiculous and more realistic. Oh, but there's going to be flying motorcycles and VTOLs and stuff like that. It's like that's just Saints Row 3 again. They're making Saints Row 3 again, but except this time they've taken out all of the good characters in the game and they have these like knockoffs. It's like if Epic Games were copying Saints Row for Fortnite, and these are the characters that they came out with. Like, we have Kevin now, who is like the new Johnny Gat, basically, kind of taking on that role, like this crazy, you know, daredevil type of guy. You've got the pure stand-in with Dion, I think. I don't remember his name, but who gives a – who cares? He's completely forgettable.
It's basically like the hot new game is coming from Nintendo. It's Super Mark O Brothers, and it's
exactly.
coming out.
And they're like, oh, and then this person, they're the driver. It's like, but you're playing the game as your as the boss, and you're driving the car. Like, why do I need a driver? I don't need a driver. Like, who cares? Like, it's just – I don't know. It just really didn't sell me on it. Like, if you want to sell me on it, like, and you're bringing it back, like, rebooting the franchise, here's my expectation was, like, okay, reboot the franchise, but, like, with the same cast of characters in there and just do something different with it. Like, for example, if I'm going to reboot Tomb Raider as they did and I didn't put Lara Croft in there, people would be throwing a fit about it. You know,
no. This is Tomb Raider with Mary Craft is actually the star of this new Tomb Raider game.
Or if I reboot, like, you know, Street Fighter, and I took out all of the characters that you liked in it, but it's still Street Fighter. You're still fighting things.
Data East did that and called it Fighting Street. That's a very famous court case.
that is Fighting Street.
There's another thing about that. Because that was actually a release of Street Fighter for TurboGrafx, I think.
Oh, right. But wasn't that the whole somebody like completely ripped him
Art
off?
Art of Fighting.
No, yeah, that's Art of Fighting. No, Fighting that's Street was the Data East thing. Anyway. Yeah.
Fighter's History, that was it.
Here's where I start to get concerned. And I have to find the quotes because here's where I get concerned. So Chief Creative Officer Jim Boone was interviewed talking about Saints Row and their inspiration for the game. Now, remember, Saints Row was a game that was basically gangsters. There was drug dealing. There was robbing convenience stores. There was pimping. There was drug running. There was gun running, stealing cars.
All the fun things you look forward to in video games. Yes.
So here's the new Saints Row. It is broadly a contemporary millennial power fantasy. These disinfected millennials turn to crime, for instance, put food on their table, feel part of the community, and pay off their student loans. That is not Saints Row.
I don't know about you guys, but I've had a few millennial power fantasies in my day.
I don't know. I would have turned to crime to pay off my student loans. They were pretty expensive.
It is. Not Saints Row. Like, this is just ridiculous. And the characters that they show, I swear to God, it's like clout chasing TikTok fantasy game. I mean, that's what it's stupid. And I get it that it's supposed to be like a Saints Row game, but it really is not. It's like you're trying to reboot you're trying to create another game and you're throwing the Saints Row label on it. Like, you killed the franchise. You basically killed the franchise. Rebooting it's not going to help at this point. Like, best of luck to you. And here's the thing. The game could be pretty good. And there maybe are very engaging characters in it. I did not get that from the trailer. I certainly didn't get that from their comments by the creative leads, which has me concerned.
So the messaging could be bad.
The messaging is terrible. You can't do worse than that. Like, and this is a company that had Uncle Busey, you know, did promoting Saints Row 2, which was fantastic. Gary Busey promoting Saints Row 2, hilarious. But like,
Gary Busey is a crazy man.
He's crazy, and that was the whole point. It was like he was talking about weapons and stuff, and it was great. And that's, you can do stuff. You can dial it back in a way. Like, if you want to make it, like, I get it. Like, maybe pimping in a game that comes out in 2021 is not PC enough for the mainstream audience nowadays. That's fine. Take that out. Okay, whatever. You know, but like going back to even Saints Row the Third, they didn't have drug dealing in it. It was dealing your merch, which was stupid in the begin with. But like, I get the point. Like, they were just trying to do the same mini game, but like, oh, we're making it even more rated G or something for everybody.
They're covering their asses.
But whatever, it's a mature rated game. They don't have to. Like, they don't do that in Grand Theft Auto. Like, take the chances, take the risk. Like,
well, but if that was the case, hot coffee would have still been in the game in Grand Theft Auto days. There are certain things that they don't want to cross because they don't want to end up on the NBC Nightly News.
But that's just, it just wasn't the time for that. They do that now.
Here's the problem. Like, it's a very American thing. This country has a bigger problem with sex than it does with violence. Just saying.
Yeah, and I get the idea they have to dial it back because, like, where do you go from ripping off the Matrix and the head of the Saints is the president and, you know, you've gone into space and stuff. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense anymore. Like, what game is that even? Like, it may
it's
be
like
a fun
a
game, but
itself.
It's a parody of a parody. And I get it. You have to dial it back. I think, like I said, you know, big fan of Saints Row 2. I thought that kind of took what Saints Row had originally established and took it to the next level. Like, there was ridiculous stuff in there that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, there was a mini game where you set yourself on fire and drove around on an ATV. Cool. That's ridiculous. That's a little bit extreme. You could rip out signposts and fire hydrants and stuff like that and like fight people with that. Like, that's ridiculous.
I did that yesterday.
But that's also a little bit more grounded in reality. Like, I hear them saying that, oh yes, we're gonna make this game, you know, we're gonna dial it back and stuff. And it's like, but once again, they have almost the same factions that they did in Saints Row the Third. It's like they're remaking Saints Row the Third. We've got this one faction that, you know, oh, they're kind of cyber technology. Okay, well, that's like in Saints Row the Third. Oh, we have this other faction, you know, they're more of like muscle and stuff like that. Okay, like the Luchadors. And then, oh, yeah, and then we've got this, you know, kind of security company. Oh, you mean like in Saints Row the Third? They're literally remaking Saints Row the Third again for the like third or fourth time.
Like, all right. I got to get some comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We had a comment about the gameplay I wanted to read here. SheHulk10 in our chat says, the actual gameplay part looked last-gen Xbox 360 era graphics. That's why they chopped it up with video cutscenes. They only showed like 4 seconds of gameplay, right?
They did only show like a few seconds of gameplay. They showed some more like in another, they've been doing these clips where like they had stuff. I literally thought, like, I saw videos coming out and I thought that it was going to be an apology video for such a terrible like trailer that they did, but no, instead it was just more of them doubling down on that. And they did show a little bit more gameplay footage in that, but it looks like Saints Row. I mean, that's what it is. It looks like Saints Row, but the problem is the gameplay could be solid, but the unique characters. And, like, yeah, I get it. Maybe Kevin is a really cool character. I didn't get that from it. It just felt ridiculous. It felt stupid. The characters lacked charisma. Like, whereas in the first game,
uniqueness,
like,
nerve, and talent.
Thanks,
Rob.
You know, you kind of, like, really get attached to these characters and, like, just their storylines. They have depth to them. But, like, these characters meant nothing to me. And if it's like, oh, they're college students and they have student loans and stuff like that, like, I'm sorry. That, like, what is this? Like, it's like
it's gentrified. A millennial power fantasy.
It's like, it's so stupid. It's like, is this what they really think gangsters are nowadays? It's just like people, like, well, we're going to go. And even that trailer was stupid. It's just like, oh, yeah, we're starting a criminal enterprise. Like, it's just like, it's stupid.
All right, Grandpa, let's get you to bed. No, I get it. I understand, like, the concerns.
A lot of the community, here's the only reason I will take a chance on this game is because Idol Ninja, who we'll get to about later, said that, listen, like, he had contributed to, like, you know, feedback and stuff for it, and said that the game that they're making looks really positive and looks like a pretty solid game. So I will give it a chance based on that. But so far, the marketing has been absolutely terrible.
I think
if this is the direction that they're going, it's just going to not be good.
There's been a lot of games where the marketing wasn't very good, but the game ended up being a little bit better than that. I mean, honestly, my brain, the first place my brain goes is the entire Sony PlayStation 3 unveiling unveiling event, right? I mean, all this talk about Ridge Racer and Giant Enemy Crabs. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, I don't think that particular game was notable, but all that stuff ended up outshadowing all the games themselves.
That's more of awkward and out of touch versus, like, this is just, and this has been the contention for a while now. Like, people have been asking for certain things, like Saints Row the Third. Once again, they made, I don't know if Volition knows how to craft a good story is, I think, the problem. Because, like, in Saints Row the Third, they're like, yeah, we're gonna kill off one of the fans' favorite characters because, ooh, you didn't see that twist coming. Like, that was the reasoning for behind it. Like, oh, it'll have some emotional impact. Yeah, people getting mad at you for doing that. Like, and then they try to retcon it in the next game. They're, oh, this kidding, he got abducted by aliens. He didn't really die. It's like, come on.
All right.
Like, it's just really stupid. And I think that they don't know how to craft a story. And I get it. I don't want a dog on the developers here, but, like, dude, look at the stuff that you're putting out. Like, look at how, like, the people, your talking heads are putting out this kind of stuff. Like, what am I supposed to think at this point? Like, I get it. I don't have to buy your game, but I don't know. I'm very skeptical that this is going to be good at this point. It'll be solid gameplay, but eh.
DJ Rama S in chat says, I think we need to wait until more info on the game comes out. Well, I mean, perhaps this somewhat negative reception. I mean, of course, we're just, in this bubble, we're just hearing from Loki. But I do feel like on the wider, like, social media and stuff, I don't feel like that trailer landed as big as people hoped it would. And I think maybe, I know, Loki, you weren't as into the over-the-top comedy, but I think that being completely missing was kind of damaging.
Well, what's considered over the top, like the space alien thing?
Okay,
and like,
let me read another I'll read this comment. Bonds 006 says, Epic Game Store gave away Saints Row 3rd Remaster. That is true. And the first question my girlfriend asked after seeing the trailer, do we still get the penetrator?
No.
So that is, I think, what people are talking about.
Yeah, you won't get that because that is too offensive nowadays.
I know many millennials that have a giant purple dildo bat as their power fantasy. So
they sold it. I mean, people have that. It's just like, that unfortunately nowadays people are going to take offense to it. And so they're not going to put it in their game. Like, and I'm fine with that. Who cares? The weapon was stupid. It was just like, look at what we did. Like, you know, there's other things that they could do. The Saints Row games have a really, like, they really like to dive into this crazy BDSM scene that they have in a lot of them. So there's a lot of, like, these weird missions revolving around that kind of stuff. So are they going to still do that? Who knows? I'm not even getting into, like, the details with that stuff. Like, I don't care about weapons and stuff right now. I'm more considering, like, who are the characters? Who's the story about here? And so far, I'm not liking what I'm seeing. They're not interesting.
All right. Enough Saints Row. We've gone on 20 minutes about Saints Row. Let's talk about some of the other stuff at Gamescom. So, Loki, what were some of the other things we saw, I guess, in the opening night or the Xbox, wherever you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So, starting off with, like, the Xbox stuff. More games. You know, we saw a new trailer for Dying Light 2, which looks pretty awesome. And that's supposed to be coming out here pretty soon, 7th of December. We've also got some more footage of Microsoft Flight Simulator, which looks pretty cool. There is going to be, I guess, some deal to bring a lot of the Humble games to Xbox Game Pass on day one. So if you don't remember, Humble is now also a publisher of games. So some of those indie games will be coming as well. Let's see. More stuff about Games Pass Ultimate and cloud gaming on Xbox consoles this holiday. So that's pretty awesome that you'll be able to do that. We had some DLC announced for Wasteland 3, the Holy Detonation. Some more Sea of Thieves stuff. The Mayhem ship they had. So those look kind of cool. State of Decay 2 Homecoming, Stray Blade, Lots of different stuff. But yeah, I think I didn't get to see this, but I know that they ended with Forza Horizon 5, which looks amazing. So definitely want to check that out eventually. Yeah,
sadly, I couldn't watch either one of these. I really just had to see the highlight reel just because the timing was right in the middle of the workday, which, you know, it's Gamescom is a Europe-centered event. So, yes, the time zones work out that it's a little earlier in the day for us. But, sadly, I kind of had to hear about this stuff after the fact. But I need to go back and watch that Forza Horizon 5 extra footage because apparently it shows the intro of the game. Forza Horizon 4 had such a good one. It'll be interesting to see how they top it.
Yeah. And then let's see. So with the Gamescom Live, their opening night stuff. So aside from Saints Row, they showed off a trailer for Midnight Suns, which apparently is that new strategy RPG from the folks that make XCOM. So that looks interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have some people very excited about that. I've checked that out, too.
Yeah, so that looked interesting. They showed a trailer for Call of Duty Vanguard, the single-player campaign for that, and that's coming out November 5th. Looked like Call of Duty, looked pretty cinematic, so pretty awesome. Showed off some new trailer for Halo Infinite. They had one for, like, the multiplayer as well. We had this cool indie game called Cult of the Lamb that's coming from Devolver Digital. Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania.
Yay.
That's got a bunch of like characters, including Morgana. And what else? They showed off a trailer for Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, which has now been pushed back even more. So I think that's coming out next year now. The Outlast Trials, in case you haven't played enough of the Outlast series. What else we get? Far Cry 6.
In case you didn't poop your pants enough playing the first two Outlast games, here you go. Here's a new one.
Yeah, they have another trailer for Far Cry 6, which is coming out in this October. Trailer for New World, which is coming out at the end of September. Age of Empires 4. Valheim Hearth and Home, which I'm not sure if that's... Oh, that's an update that they're doing with some balancing changes. Sifu, which is that like kind of stylized martial arts game. Death Stranding Director's Cut, which just looks weird.
What was all that weird side stuff they had in it? Like they had like a Mario Kart game type of thing in it.
It's shenanigans.
We're just going to put all of the game into the game.
It is, but I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of into it, and I do want to get it whenever I get a PlayStation 5. But I think I'll kind of wait for the newness to wear off a little bit so that it maybe goes on sale a bit. I have to admit, all this extra stuff in Death Stranding, like some of it is like so absurd, I kind of have to see it. Just because the game itself was such a unique mood. I don't want to use any negative terms because I actually really enjoyed the game, but it was very unique for a video game. And so the fact that they're adding kind of these silly tropes into it is fascinating to me.
Then they have this other game called Dokkai V, which is like not necessarily like a Pokemon game, but it's a monster catching game. Where you catch like was it Dokkai V, they say, where you exist with these monsters. It's like, it kind of looks better than like Pokemon.
Pokemon so, hardcore.
It's like Pokemon, but like it looks pretty awesome. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear more about it.
So they had that, and I think that was pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. That opening night live was like a 2-hour-long thing. It was a long presentation, but, you know, lots of good updates in there, especially considering the bulk of what is coming out the rest of the year we know about at this point. You know, there's not going to be really any more holiday surprises. There may be a little thing here or there, but there's not going to be any big surprises at this point.
Well, they can always... I mean, Nintendo does their own thing whenever they want to.
But even then, I wouldn't set the bar too high for a Nintendo surprise.
Oh, gosh. You know? My bar with Nintendo is incredibly low.
I would say, like, a Nintendo surprise would be Tetris 99 type of thing. You know, that, and I'm not saying literally that, but, you know, something in that caliber. Like Pac-Man 99 kind of ended up being, so, or whatever it's called. Maybe there will be another 99 game. Who knows? But I would think something in that kind of vein is where to, you know, aim appropriately when it comes to big surprise for the holiday. Orange Ride in chat says, I'm sure people will still believe Nintendo's going to bring the Great Pumpkin. Possibly. Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter and social media set the bar too high when it comes to Nintendo. So probably. Oh, yeah. Comment from Tiger Claw, who I know watches all things Ninja Turtles very carefully. Is a big week for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as April was announced in Shredder's Revenge. Yes, that I did see a little bit on that. You know, it's basically a throwback to the old Ninja Turtles arcade game, right? The Ninja Turtles game everybody loved, right? And
yeah,
now
yeah.
They're, you know, kind of the Shredder's Revenge is very much that. But, you know, for 2021, and now April is actually playable in it, which is kind of neat. The fact that she kind of beats people with her microphone is kind of fun. I've wanted to do the same thing several times. So pretty fun. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things we have been playing this week, not just the stuff we're looking forward to. Let's get into a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? And what are the types of games you've been playing this week? Dark Sakura, we'll start with you.
I did finally get my start back on Final Fantasy 14. They put me right back on the same server my other two characters were on, even though I tried something different, so whatever. Of course I play Dead by Daylight. Apparently, and now this was actually a build that was suggested to me, and we did some modifications to it. Apparently my resident Pigu build is loved.
I was watching when you had Nick and Prince play your build on his stream. That was fun, yeah.
Isn't it evil?
It is, just the whole concept of, yeah. Anyway, I don't want to, we talk about too much Dead by Daylight on the show anyway. I'm not going to get the
Well, just
the
one little thing,
bolts,
one little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, sure.
Bourbon played it today.
Oh, okay.
And we switched out Corrupt Intervention for Lethal Pursuer. And it was pretty vicious, so I'm gonna have to take that and incorporate it into the official Resident Pigu.
Nice.
All right, so anyway, and if anyone who's playing wants to know what Resident Pigu is, let me know. But it's called that because it relies on playing the Raccoon Police Department, aka RuPaul's Drag Station.
Or just watch Dark Soccer's stream on Twitch, wink wink nudge nudge plug.
I've been trying to get a number two rule set and have it, or a tamper timer. No luck.
Huh.
So I'm going back to leveling Pyramid Daddy.
Okay.
With his nerfed butt.
Does he have any less power now that his butt's flatter?
No,
it's
still pretty badass.
It's a graphical thing.
They nerfed
thing.
Freddy.
Yeah, Freddy's power got nerfed in it, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. No, a lot of people like just stopped playing him randomly, and I'm like, okay, more Freddy for
He's
me.
Still great.
I'm still playing exactly the same way I was playing pre-nerf, so it's no big, you know.
It's gonna be awkward if they ever add Five Nights at Freddy's characters with Freddy. It's just gonna be confusing.
Well, we're technically gonna have two peepee heads because there's Pinhead coming in now.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he's cool. Oh my god, I can't wait for it to go live and to see if they fix the problems that there were during PTB.
Yeah, I will say, I hope Pinhead is in the game around the time I get back from Dragon Con. I don't know how much longer it's going to take.
You opened the box, and I came.
Yeah, that's the first, I guess Trickster had it, but that's the first killer that has, you know, such menacing sentences. Trickster's vocals are very, like, you know, like he kind of
sings. Well,
they
got a Korean voice actor for him.
Yeah, he has little things, but.
But keep in mind, Adiris had lines.
Oh,
they weren't in English.
That's right. No, you're right.
But she spoke, it wasn't actually Babylonian. It's like one of the other derivative languages, though, of that time frame. I want to say it was like I'll look it up later,
anyway.
But it was a yeah. Anyway.
Anyway,
they did research into her, which I thought was really cool.
Nice.
But from that to, I was also playing Wordscapes, because I love my word games, and I actually got Gardic on stream for me to try to incorporate later, so we'll see if that happens. It's so much fun, though. I love it. So I have to, you know, get my tablet stuff together.
All right. Well, that's it for your gaming week. My gaming week.
Oh,
yeah.
We did a pinball trade, so we now have a Rick and Morty.
Oh,
as a temporary.
Out. Oh, fun.
Dan traded Metallica temporarily for us to have the Rick and Morty in our garage. So you want to come play it?
I kind of do, because I don't know the Rick and Morty table at all. So
I was going to play it the other day, but you know, I've been getting over this sinus infection. I'm mostly over it now.
Yeah. So my gaming week, I've also been playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight. I did a stream one night this week randomly, and that was a lot of fun. I've also been playing just a lot of the stuff I've talked about on the show before, you know, Final Fantasy 14. But then I also kind of dipped into some other stuff. I randomly started playing No Man's Sky, and I got an achievement that I hadn't unlocked yet. I was trying to basically get back to the center of the galaxy again, or no, I was trying to finish the Atlas storyline, which I thought would trigger the center of the story, the center of the galaxy story again, because I thought you also kind of did the same thing, but it didn't play out the way I thought it would. You kind of just get an item that instantly shows you where tons of black holes are, so that's kind of fun. I mean, spoiler alert, but not really. No Man's Sky is a 5-year-old game at this point. I think part of me is also just anticipating that new patch, and I think I do want to platinum No Man's Sky, but I'm playing on Xbox, so it's not really platinum, but you know what I mean. The hardest achievement is going to be that permadeath one, because permadeath mode isn't just, you know, permadeath, but it's like a higher, like the resources cost more, things drain faster, like it's going to be a rough grind to get that one, but I kind of want to try it, so we'll see. But I'm really awaiting whatever we talked about on a previous episode. There's been teases of another, you know, big content patch for that game. And I'm hoping another seasonal event will come with that, sort of like the Mass Effect thing. But it doesn't have to be a tie-in with anything else. Like, I enjoyed the first event for what it was. So I'm hoping there's another one that comes in pretty soon in that game. That would be fun. And then I played Katamari Damacy Reroll, because that is on Game Pass now. So if you have Xbox, Microsoft, whatever, you can play Katamari Damacy Reroll, and that game is still a joy all these years later. Because if you think about it, that's based off the original Katamari game, which was out around the time this show started, a long time ago.
PlayStation 2, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a delight to play again and just experience that, that's for sure. So that was pretty much my gaming week. So let's move on. I will mention quickly before we get into the rest of the news from this week, just some quick housekeeping things. There will not be a live show or a podcast next week, which is very, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, it's kind of been that way over Labor Day weekend, because I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be at Dragon Con. I hope I get to meet a lot of people at Dragon Con, but at the same time, it's going to be a very different kind of year where I'm really focusing on panels and not so much parties, just because obviously with all the stuff going on out there, I want to take things a little bit cautiously, although I was very, very happy to hear in the past week and a half, Dragon Con kind of made the same move that PAX ended up making, and that is they will be mandating you have to have either the vaccine or a negative test in the last 72 hours, whatever. So that's on top of the mask mandate. So that's makes me feel a lot better. But I'm going to really enjoy the panels. I am on 6 different panels this year. I gave an overview of those last week, so I'm not going to detail all 6 of them again tonight. I'll just point you over at my Twitter, twitter.com/MrRobRoberts. That's MrRobRoberts. And all of my panels are listed there in the pinned post. I made it my pinned post for now. I will point out 3 of those panels are online. So if you are doing virtual Dragon Con this year, which many people are, you can check out those three of the 6 panels I'm going to be doing are going to be streamed online. So I hope to see some of you guys there. 2 of them are on Friday. I have like 8 hours of panels on Friday, which is, I mean, no, I overstated that, but it's a lot. It's an hour and a half, no, an hour panel and then a half hour break. So it's 6 hours of panels because it's 4 back to back to back. But it'll be fun. I love doing panels. It's my favorite part of the show. So I'm very excited to do that and hopefully meet some people at Dragon Con this year, either virtually or in person. Okay. That's it for that. We will see you in 2 weeks live, so we will not be here next week. I imagine Dark Sakura will be here on Sunday streaming probably, but I don't know. I don't want to. Maybe she'll
of
go
course.
Out and enjoy. I don't know. Maybe you'll go out and enjoy the night. I don't know.
Maybe I'll do a marathon.
Yeah, there you go. Bobby won't be here either that night for obvious reasons. He does the same thing that I'm doing. So, Sunday night is going to be open. So there you go. Also, although I don't think any of our regulars are in the area, I do just want to acknowledge that hurricane that's happening in Louisiana right now and the surrounding area. I just, you know, want to say I hope everybody is safe and got out of the path of that storm and was able to evacuate. And definitely sending my thoughts to those that are affected by that, because that does not sound like a lot of fun right now. So, yeah, just wanted to acknowledge that and hope that all of our listener fam is in a drier place right now. Okay, let's get into some other gaming news. Loki, we'll start with you.
Starting that news with what I played this week.
Did I skip you
Minecraft
completely? I sure did. I'm sorry, Loki. What did
yeah,
you play?
It's okay, it's just Minecraft.
I know, I was going to say, what did you play anything besides Minecraft?
Do you have your own Christian Minecraft server now?
I don't have my own Christian Minecraft server.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to skip you, Logie.
Oh, no, that's all good. No, I was mainly Minecraft, so like I meant to put out a video this week, and then I realized that we have our road contest thing, which is technically it was due like yesterday, but you know, the people there are judging it. They're on vacation, so it's fine. So I've been like working in that for a long time. So, yeah, I'm still feeling the pressure to put out a video. And I have a lot of content for that. Just had priorities. So, anyways, so one thing I definitely wasn't going to be playing this week is the fan-made Metroid Prime 2D project. And, you know, it was this awesome work by a team, SCU, that released a demo for Prime 2D. It was a side-scrolling remake of Metroid Prime that they've been working on for 15 years. You already know the punchline to this. It's a Nintendo game, so of course Nintendo was going to put an end to that, and they did. They cease and desisted it, and it's bye-bye. So they put out a post in Reddit saying, "Hello, dedicated fans, this is an announcement that you've been dreading. We have been asked by a certain games-related company to discontinue our work on Prime 2D in its current form. We have removed the demo download and soundtrack MP3 download. We are currently in dialogue with that company to determine that they're not going to let them do it. I mean, come on." This is what happens when you talk about your game before your game's out. You just have to make it, and I know you're really excited about it. You really want to share, you know, the work. You got to understand, they're going to C&D that so fast that it's just, I mean, come on, you've been working on it for 15 years now, or planning for 15 years on it. You kind of knew what was going
to
happen.
They've
only done it to everything.
You have to do what they call in the music industry a Beyonce. If you might remember, Beyonce just dropped an album with no warning, no lead up, no hype, no nothing. She was really, I don't know if she was the first artist ever to do it, but she's certainly the first that I think of. And, you know, certainly the digital era, I think, kind of changed a lot of the rules. You know, you just put it out there and it's done. And so I think that's what a lot of these fan projects that are in questionable territory have to do if they want to actually see a release, is they just have to Beyonce it and just drop it. I get that it's a legal gray area. And especially with a Metroid game coming out next month, Nintendo is going to protect their trademarks, and they do this aggressively. This should not be a surprise to anybody. Does it suck? Yes. But at the same time, should it surprise you? Absolutely not. Only hope for at this point that they will be able to redo some of the sprites and some of the things to make it, Mattroid. Supper Mattroid.
And you want to contrast this with what, like, Sega is doing? Sega just had a fan game festival for Sonic. So they were showing off a ton of fan games that were made with that. Yeah. Just different companies, different, you know, philosophies about it. But, like, I kind of wish Nintendo would just take the Sega philosophy, you know? Sega does what Nintendo don't.
And that's not filing
allowing fan games to exist. Yes,
yeah. But... All right, let's move on. This next story has had a lot of people talking this week, especially on social media. You know, and just a couple weeks ago on the show, we were talking about the Ariana Grande concert in Fortnite and how it was very unique, and it really had people thinking about Fortnite as an artistic platform and as, you know, oh, maybe for, you know, and if you've looked in some of the things that, you know, Epic and they've all said about Fortnite in the past is that they want Fortnite to be this, you know, not just their battle royale game, but they want it to be basically a pop culture, you know, puddle. So that makes this latest development from this week very fascinating. And that is that Time Magazine helped craft an interactive exhibit called March Through Time. It is a interactive experience all about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I don't have Fortnite even installed on my computer, so I haven't been able to experience it myself. But I am told that you will transport to DC 1963, which is a reimagined version of the nation's capital that allows you to visit exhibits that are kind of like a virtual museum. They actually kind of explain what Dr. King's speech is all about. It talks about the March on Washington for jobs and freedom. And I believe you can actually hear the entire I Have a Dream speech in there. And you earn a special spray that you can use in your Fortnite matches from going through the experience, perhaps to entice people to go to it. And this has gotten a lot of feedback because there's been a lot of things from like, what? To, hey, Fortnite's trying to do a good thing and bring education to the children, to these very interesting pictures of, let's say, the xenomorph from Alien, who is a playable character in Fortnite, walking around Washington, D.C. 1963 with Rick from Rick and Morty. And this experience has already had some issues, too, is that they had to disable emotes from outside. I guess the experience brings 8 unique emotes. So you can use those unique ones in the experience, but you can't bring the outside ones in anymore because people were doing things that were inappropriate. And it's a lot of the optics that are causing some people to take issue with, like, for example, the loading screen will give you a tip for how to play Fortnite Battle Royale, which might involve like how to properly use the gun, which is a little bit tasteless when you consider the end of the story of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's pretty tasteless. So some of those optics don't play out too well. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I want to experience it for myself before I really form an opinion, but I do kind of feel like it's extremely well-intentioned. I saw a very interesting comment that I thought is worth repeating. And I'm very sorry. I don't know who said the comment. It's one of those things I picked up on Twitch. Twitter. The other Twitter. TW and somebody had said, you know what, if they're going to not teach critical race theory in schools and people have to learn about critical, you know, that type of stuff through Fortnite, that's wild, but I'm glad they're doing it type of thing. And it did kind of stop and give me pause. I was like, because, you know, I'd seen a lot of the negative blowback on the experience. But when I saw that comment, I was like, fuck, this person has a point. When you consider what Fortnite's target audience really is, which is kids around Loki's age, I don't know if it's really a bad thing that they get to.
Kids are not my age.
Sorry. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The kids that are Loki's kids' age.
Hey, fellow kids.
I kind of like, you know what? I think it's pretty well into. I think there's a lot of like optic issues and like learning curve types of things that maybe this isn't where I would have started and maybe learned about some of those things by maybe. But at the same time, again, it's hard to be upset about it. But I do think there's a lot of feedback that Epic and the Fortnite team could certainly hear about it. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. Has anybody played it at all? What do you think?
Well, I don't play Fortnite.
Nah.
But I think, honestly, though, well-intentioned is a very apt description for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be positive, especially given, again, that we've got these states that are rolling back education about such an important part of American history, but I think that it's not enough, that it's just one focus.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, I think, helpful and bring some attention, but I think that we need broader education out there. Accurate representation. Not black and white photos, but photos that were taken in color in the 60s because it wasn't that long ago.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, apparently kids have reacted really positively towards this and they have actually shocked their gamer parents. And that is a good point, I think, is that it can start a conversation that I think is a good conversation to have. And I don't know what else to say. I think there are, again, there's many good things about this. I just think the putting it in Fortnite, and it's almost like you're kind of like jumping like five steps ahead to this thing that it's like, this is very good. This is very important. And we're glad it's here now, but maybe there would have been some learning steps along the way before we got here. But it's hard to look at this and go, it's terrible. I think it's just, I think so many of us were unprepared for Fortnite to bring this. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Other comments in chat. I wanted to say here, DJ Rama S in chat says, gotta educate these youngins one way or another. Mike Deft in chat says, it's like, it's a nice gesture, but this ain't it, Chief. Moves on to a reply to Bobby saying, if the end of all of this is positive, then I'm all for it, even if I don't agree with how it's done entirely. Questbuster brings up an interesting kind of like analogy, I guess, with Ubisoft's relatively recent Assassin's Creed titles have tried to do with their history walkthroughs of ancient Egypt and Greece, that they can use games to at least spark a sense of discovery instead of simply being games. Excuse me. You know, I thought of that too, actually. And I thought about also a game like Civilization and how much I learned from really loving that game when I was in high school. And even though that wasn't an edutainment game, it wasn't the Oregon Trail, it wasn't Carmen Sandiego, I certainly learned a lot about some of the natural wonders of the world, or the, you know, man-made ones as well, some of the wonders of the world, if you will, through that game. You learn about leaders of the world and their different styles, except they kind of messed up Gandhi. And if you know Civilization, you get the joke there. If you don't, look it up.
I know Gandhi was, he was problematic.
Yes. But anyway, there's a lot I learned from playing Civilization I wouldn't have gotten if not the fact that I really enjoyed the game. So it's, I don't know. I was tempted to download Fortnite just to check this out. It's just one of those things where I don't have the bandwidth to download a 60 gig game right now. But I really should have sat down and watched at least a YouTube or somebody playing through it on Twitch. I'd like to sort of see it for myself, to get more out of it. But I think it's going to start a bigger conversation. And I think this whole idea of educating people through video games is generally a great direction for the industry. And I think we just have to figure out what's the magic formula to really make that work so that we don't have, you know, offensive emotes coming from the xenomorph and aliens, you know, trying to look through the exhibit or what have you. So we'll
see. Don't think it's necessarily that it was like offensive in the sense that the emotes were offensive. I think it's more of like, you maybe we shouldn't be like doing the Carlton while Martin Luther King's giving his speech.
Yes.
You know, I think it was more of that. Like, this is not the time for that.
Right.
It's not the time to do the background kid dance.
Our man with the voiceovers, VXJSNXV in chat, says, learning through concepts is one thing, learning through interactive concepts is another. And yes, I agree with that. I think, and again, you know, kind of going back to what Bobby is saying, is that this is starting conversations. I think this is a good thing. We just have to figure out how do we make sure it's right and that we don't have people doing the Carlton, you know, when people, you know, and those sorts of things. Because unfortunately on the internet, things are going to, maybe this should have been something that was like explored as a single player or in a party with friends only type of thing. I don't know. I'm not saying definitively that should have been it. I'm just saying maybe there's some other things we have to kind of figure out about how to get all that to work. So anyway, yeah. I'm sure we will hear more on this and other similar things as Fortnite dips into the education for the children as well. I'm also curious, Loki, if your kid, maybe your kids are a little bit too young, but I don't know. But I'd be curious to see if they end up in this and what they get out of it. I'd be very curious about that.
Oh, they don't play Fortnite. So.
Oh, I thought they did. Oh.
And, no.
Oh, it's Roblox. Yeah.
Yeah, unless they're doing a Martin Luther King thing in Wacky Wizards or in Brookhaven, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the industry kind of looks at this and does. And I honestly, I mean, let's be real. Fortnite has ripped off from everything else. Let's just spill the tea. Everything
what?
In Fortnite was ripped off of something
My
else.
Fortnite?
And honestly, what Questbuster was explaining about that Assassin's Creed, where do you think they may have gotten the inspiration? Hypothesis. Planning.
Assassin's Creed is completely historically accurate nowadays, you know, with its Pegasus and Norse gods and all that stuff.
Well,
so.
But they do have those educational modes that, you know, bring a little more to it, not the actual game part. Anyway. All right.
Does it talk about the harboring of sex abusers in Ubisoft as well? Is that part of the education I'm also going to be getting from this?
You know, I think they omitted that part. That's something they got to rely on the community to remind people of, is that there are still many problems within the industry. But I think we come to some of those a little later in the show, so I will get to that later. In the meantime, How about a nice story that takes Orange Lounge Radio back to its roots? Let's go to Dark Sakura for its next story.
These roots are kind of grown out, aren't they?
A little bit. These roots give me a heart attack these days, but I think it's neat.
Oh, Rob. So, long gone are the days of Mr. Spanky and Betty. There is a new Dance Dance Revolution PC. Coming out. And I'm actually looking at the tweet here that came out with this one. And hold on, let me see if I can take a better look at the tweet. Notice of the version of Dance Dance Revolution's second open alpha test for a limited time will be holding the it's translated as Konaste. Version of Dance Dance Revolution's second open alpha test. Please take this opportunity to try it. From what I can at least tell from what the tweet says, it is in Japanese and I'm kind of half reading it. Oh, good. They translated it. Anyway. So Konami has ended the alpha test for DDR V5, I guess it is, an HTML5 browser version of DDR, and renewed the game with a second open alpha test. So DDR, Dance Dance Revolution PC for the Konami Amusement Game Station. So that's Konasute. That's where that came from. Also known as EA Cloud, or maybe Alpha, I guess. But it's going to run from August 24th, 2021 through September 6th, 2021. It is very similar to the arcade version DDR A20 Plus, and
which I was surprised because I didn't even realize there was a plus version of that game.
Yep, there is.
It only has a few songs in it and no save feature, but the dance pad is up on Konami style. And
the dance
I
pad
look already...
nice. I got to say, they look very different now.
But in true Konami style fashion, though, they have to get 1,000 pre-orders in order to actually make it.
As I was saying. I may have already told the husband I'm pre-ordering one.
Oh, good for you.
The price of it right now is 17,380 yen. So roughly about 170 bucks. Really isn't that bad considering.
Is it a hard pad or is it? I mean, it looked like one of those like cheapy soft pads. I mean, I don't know.
It looked like it might be the foamy. It might be the foamy kind.
$100? That's kind of...
Hold on a second.
I was gonna say it might be the price might make more sense if it's one of the foamy type of things. Like you remember towards, I want to say the end of when we were all playing DDR, but it was around that time like, they had, I think, Red Octane or one of those companies put out the mats that were surrounded by foam. Comments from chat. Jason in chat says EA Cloud is EMU's cloud. Orange Wright says the pad is way overpriced if it's a regular soft mat. I agree. Dark Tetsuya says it has a free mode, but it locks you to pre-DDRA stuff. Maybe they don't want you to play all the arcade stuff for free. You know, and that's also in like this coming out also doesn't surprise me when we've had a Beatmania 2DX. We've had a, you know, we've had other Bomani games that Konami has looked at putting on PC. Anyway, sorry, Jamie.
So I have more.
Yeah, please.
USB connection, Bluetooth low energy compatible, no compatible service at this time. Body weight approx size 983 millimeters by 840 millimeters. Body weight 1.4 kilogram. USB cable not included. Corresponding service PC version. Konaste Dance Dance Revolution has a music pack that comes with it. Purchase benefits will be reserved to their Konami ID. So it is locked to your Konami ID. Bonus songs will looks like also be going through Konami ID. Number of units, 1,000 units. Order acceptance period August 24th through September 6th. Just reading the, I just ran it through a translator.
Nice.
I'll wait, you know, until they crack it to allow me to play whatever songs I want in it. It'll happen immediately. So
true.
I can't wait.
So as far as other things to go with this, system requirements are Windows 10 64-bit. At least 2.8 gigahertz processor, recommended Intel Core i5 or higher, AMD A8 at 3.5 gigahertz or higher. 40 gigabytes hard drive space, recommended RAM 8 gigabytes, video RAM 1 gigabyte or higher. I mean, that makes sense if it's going to be playing music and graphics. I mean, you'll need it. So DirectX 9. C or higher, stereo onboard sound recommended, resolution 1280 by 720 at 60 kilohertz.
Basically the arcade hardware. I mean, that's basically kind of what they're talking about there, because that's, I think, what the arcade machines run. And they run on PCs anyway.
Are you saying they just repurposed the arcade software for a home version? You got... What?
How about I finish the story?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So the songs that are included right now is Make It Better, Keep On Moving, Drop the Bomb, Higher, Broken My Heart, oh, Paula Terry comes back, Exotic Ethnic, Destiny, Xenon, Astrogazer, Digital Love, Helios, Level Up, Hyper Bomb, In the Past, Splash Gold, and one more thing, hold on. Because I have to translate it. Because I don't read that much kanji. One way ticket to space. Uchi sora e no katamichi kipu.
So that's it. Looking at the product page, it is a soft mat. And it's wireless Bluetooth, though, as well. But for a soft mat, no.
No, wireless.
No $100. I mean, if it's wireless, I don't care if it's wireless. Like, there's toys that are wireless. Like, it doesn't cost $100 to put a Bluetooth module into their thing. That is vastly overpriced. Although, like, I do show them folding it up. Like, you can fold it down, but, like, maybe technology has advanced further than the soft pads of lore. But I don't know. Like, it looks cheap. Definitely not something I'd buy for $100.
All right. But I definitely want to check out the game at some point. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Check out the game. Yeah.
Anything else to report on DDRPC, Darsagra?
Apparently not.
All right. Let's move on to our next story, Loki.
Yeah, so Halo Infinite was something that they also were talking about during Gamescom, the opening night live. So they talked, well, first the release date for Halo Infinite leaked out, and then it was confirmed to be true. So it is going to be coming out December 8th. And along with that, they're going to be having some brand new limited edition consoles and whatnot. So they're going to have an Xbox Series X that's going to launch on November 15th. And then looks like we also have the Elite Series 2 controller, which launches November 15th. Maybe I was wrong on that date. I think that was it November 15th for the game? Actually, yeah, November 15th for the game as well. I'm saying, why? I think December 8th. That's weird. Anyways, so those are going to be coming. I like the controller, the Elite controller. I'm not buying it for $200, but it looks nice. I mean, and that the Series X looks nice. I like the controller with that console. I would buy that separately. But I already have an Xbox Series X, so I'll skin it, I guess. I don't know. I'm sorry. So, yeah, the console's coming out November 15th. Game is coming out December 8th. I knew I didn't forget that. The limited edition Xbox Series X, $550. And then the Elite Series controller, $200. Vastly overpriced, if you ask me. But, I mean, it's a controller. It looks Master Chiefy.
And the system is so, so good looking. I really want one.
Yeah, the system looks nice. And then they didn't really show too much. They had like a cinematic trailer for like, I guess the multiplayer. I don't really know what exactly that was all about. It kind of didn't make any sense to me, but you know, glad to know that that's coming soon, the release of that, and they were able to get their act together pretty fast, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure we'll hear more about it as soon as we get closer to that date.
E3VL in chat says, over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I heard launch content for the game isn't that great. Yeah, it seems like they're going to really be kind of adding a lot to it as it goes.
The co-op is not going to be there at launch, which is kind of weird.
Which would usually be very obnoxious. And I think the folks that are paying the full $60 price tag may have some reservations with that. But we also have to remember Microsoft is really all in on Game Pass at this point. And I think, you know, if they can still get a lot of people to check the game out on Game Pass in a way, that's still a win for them. And I think there will be a lot of people that will check out, even if it's just kind of like partial Halo. I'll be one of them. I enjoy Halo enough to check out on Game Pass, whatever parts of the game are there the day that it launches. So it's just interesting to kind of think about. Yeah, the whole game's not really there, but when you think about Microsoft's overall strategy, is it that surprising? I mean, I think we all know the development of the gameplay
that we have right now.
Yeah.
Because like every game nowadays has a roadmap for it. I mean, it's becoming more acceptable, unfortunately. But I mean, I trust that Microsoft will put out a decent game. I mean, they kind of know what they're doing. 343 knows what they're doing with these games, so we'll have to wait and see.
All right.
I'm not getting a day one anyway, so I mean, I guess I can play it on Games Pass, so in a sense, I will be getting a day one, but yeah.
All right, well, moving on to our next story. So on a prior episode of the show, Dark Soccer and I were bantering a little bit about the Stranger Things content being removed from Dead by Daylight in November. And certainly a lot of speculation as to the reasons why it was going away led to the fact that, Netflix is doing, we know that Netflix is planning their own gaming service, and Stranger Things probably ties into that. And then there was even more fuel on the fire when I had noticed that on Games Pass, the Stranger Things 3 RPG was set to leave the service on September 1st. And as it turns out, there is something going on with Stranger Things and Netflix gaming. And a lot of it went down in Poland, believe it or not, because that is Netflix's basically their testing region for this. So what happened in Poland? Well, starting this week, Netflix members in Poland are able to try Netflix mobile gaming. It's only on Android for their test, for whatever reason. And there's two games for it, Stranger Things 1984 and Stranger Things 3. Stranger Things 3, of course, is that RPG. I think if I remember right, Stranger Things 1984 is a not great puzzle game, but it's it's part of the Stranger Things, you know, licenses or whatever. So these are the two games that are a part of the test. So if you're a Netflix member in Poland, you can check these out on your Android device as part of the membership. Netflix did say it's still very, very early days, and we will be working hard to deliver the best possible experience in the months ahead with our no ads, no in-app purchases approach to gaming. Interesting that they also emphasize those points. Just as
probably because they'll have the infrastructure to do that, so you know, well, but we'll brag about it as a positive.
Just as an FYI, you do not stream these games through the cloud. That's not what this does, and this probably may explain why it isn't currently testing on the Apple side of things. I would guess. I can only really speculate there. It's not through cloud gaming. What you do when you installed now, you go to the Google Play Store because it's Android, and you download the game on the device. You can also download the game directly from the Play Store, but you have to use your Netflix login as your credentials. So you can then play the games through the Netflix app or their own dedicated app. Now Netflix does say an iOS test is coming, so that is, you know, they're not leaving it out. But we don't know exactly how that will work yet. If it downloads to the App Store, we'll find out more when the test gets there. But Netflix is using Stranger Things as part of their gaming service test, so not a terrible big surprise when we talk about some of the content shifting around. I still don't think they needed to do it. Like you kind of said earlier, Sonic shows up in all these fan things, and you know, it's Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, and I don't think it hurts sales or brand identity. That movie still did very, very well when it came out. So I'm not sure I see the logic as to why they need to remove Stranger Things from Dead by Daylight, other than they just don't want to. It's not worth it to them or whatever. It's a little weird, but I guess they're within their rights.
Well, they're also not really that like sought out of, you know, to I'm not like seeking it out to play. And they're also available. Like, I think some of that's already on like the Steam storefront or Epic Games and stuff like that. So it's other places. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, it's gone from Games Pass. I better go check this out on Netflix. No one's thinking that at all. So whatever.
Not these games, but it'll be interesting if Netflix comes up with originals. And who knows? Maybe they have their own Dead by Daylight clone kind of game. We'll say a lopsided 4v1 kind of game that maybe we'll use. Then it'll make more sense to me why they wanted to pull back from Dead by Daylight, even though, again, if you bought those characters, you keep those characters. You're going to still see those characters in Dead by Daylight.
I wonder if they'll do like their own Dead by Daylight game that's just Stranger Things stuff.
What's that, Jamie?
For the record, I think that the DLC cosmetics or the Vexture cosmetics are going off sale before, a few days before the whole thing actually is gone.
Yep. SSJ100 Matt.
While you can.
SSJ100 Matt with a good perspective here, saying Netflix survived by taking a chance on streaming and making their own content. That is true. Netflix really started the ball with making their own stuff. Like when Orange is the New Black, I think, was one of the first shows that I can remember being a Netflix original. And that was a huge fucking deal when that came out. That and the one that unfortunately had Kevin Spacey and that whole mess tanked that whole show. That was another early Netflix original. I can't remember what the fuck the show was called. Somebody in chat will remember, I'm sure. But those were like some early Netflix originals, and the quality of those shows was so good. At least the early seasons of Orange is the New Black was pretty good. I don't know about the later ones. But, you know, it drew people into the streaming service. House of Cards. That was the other one I was trying to think of with the Kevin Spacey. All right. And then they like wrote him out of the very last season or something like that. I remember that was a whole thing, so... SG100 Matt says, just a test venture with one of their own IPs, so it's nothing to lose. I think it'll go beyond their own IPs eventually, but we'll stay tuned for that. So, and Pod Culture says, Orange is the New Black had Kate Mulgrew from Voyager. Yes, that was a reason why I watched it, actually, is that I love Kate Mulgrew, and she plays a very different type of character in that show. So, yeah. And then I grew to like a lot of the other characters, except... the main character. Hated her. But everybody else was great. But I hated the main character in that show. I don't even remember her name, but I hated her. All right.
Well, she's not great in The Handmaid's Tale either, but, you know.
Oh, she in that show too? Well, I don't have a problem with the actress. I just had a problem with the character.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Mike Defton chat says, we all did, Rob Roberts. Okay. I'm glad to know I wasn't alone. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura. What do we have next?
A move that's honestly, I think, just a gesture. But for people who enjoy Overwatch, there is a change coming by renaming the character McCree, who is named after one of the developers who was let go from the company with all of the sexual harassment claims going on. It's a nice gesture, but that's all it is a gesture. It doesn't address. I mean, yeah, remove him. I say remove all references. That's great. That's good. But yeah. But they were also planning on doing a new narrative in Overwatch in September, but because that character was involved in it, they're delaying it for later in the year, and in the interim are doing a new FFA map. But I'm going to read the direct quote from the development team.
Sure.
We built the Overwatch universe around the idea of inclusivity, equity, and the hope. And hope are the building blocks of a better future. We continue to discuss how we best live up to our values and to demonstrate our commitment to creating a game world that reflects them. We believe it's necessary to change the name of the hero currently known as McCree to something that better represents what Overwatch stands for.
And unfortunately, the name that they chose was Cosby the Cowboy, and it's just not working out.
Stop it. Delete your account. Stop it.
They need to call him, I look like Wolverine, but not really.
I think I saw some name that was Yeehaw McGraw or something like that. Like
Yeehaw McGraw.
Just give him a real over-the-top name. All right. Mike Defton chat says, yeah, another nice gesture, but at the same time, it's like, how does this fix things? And I definitely see that side of it, because I just want to remind everybody, it has been 1 month now since the employees made demands of the leadership at Activision Blizzard King, sometimes known as ABK, and those demands have still gone unheard from. By the way, Frances Townsend still employed at ABK for some reason. I'm not sure what that reason is, but that is something that should be noted. It's been 1 month, and that those demands have not been responded to. So
they're pulling it. They're pulling in New Orleans.
What do you mean by that?
Little bitty patches on those levees, but the storm hits and they break.
That may not be the best timed reference with what's going on.
No, actually, I did it on purpose because I know those situations very well. I grew up in that general area. And I'm very pissed at New Orleans for not still having done the proper repairs on it. So I stand by my statement.
All right. S2100 Matt in chat says, kind of like, hey, I know we've been shitty lately, but here is a semi-warm cookie. It may or may not have chocolate chips. Might be oatmeal. Oh, it might be raisins.
Oh, I hate that.
We are getting rid of the chocolate chips that, you know, the folks who are allergic to chocolate. Unfortunately, we're replacing them with raisins. Oh, boy. All right. Anyway, let's go in right into the next story because it kind of ties into all of this. Right, Loki?
Yeah, unfortunately. So as we know, the California has been, investigating Activision Blizzard for their terrible workplace environment, and unfortunately there's also some more to that now. So now we're getting allegations that Activision Blizzard is shredding documents that were requested by the DFEH. So I don't know, that's not good that we're hearing about that. Yeah, but basically that Activision Blizzard hasn't been cooperative, that they have cited their non-disclosure agreement and the requirements that employees must speak with the company before contacting the State Department. Of course, Wilmer Hale, who is, busting unions, and other examples of lack of cooperation. But yeah, the shredding documents too is also shredding abuse evidence. And, you know, basically, you know, it's not a good look for them. But of course, Activision comes out and they're saying that, listen, we've done a lot. You know, we've made several high-level personnel changes. We're revamping hiring and recruiting practices and requiring diverse interview panels, greater transparency on pay equality, and clear boundaries on workspace behavior with a zero-tolerance approach to harassment of their actions that diminish or marginalize.
So in other words,
they may be saying words, but it's coming out like an oral fart.
That is exactly what I was going to say, is that their lips are moving, but all we hear is...
Yeah.
Great minds think like us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's typical corporate, you know, it sounds like that they're being as accountable about this as Ubisoft is. So,
meanwhile, SSJ 100 Matt is continuing the cookie company story going, now it's like, while you enjoy that cookie, pay no attention to the man shredding documents behind the curtains.
Pay no attention to the guy replacing your chocolate chips with raisins. Evil fucking things. And I mean both.
I don't hate raisins, but they ain't craisins, which are far superior. So I just want to make Rob, that clear. I have a lot of love for craisins.
Rob.
What? What?
The cookie of choice
is peanut butter, dark... which is fine.
No. Dark chocolate chip craisin oatmeal cookies.
Why would you put all of those things in a cookie together?
Because they're amazing.
Okay. I don't know. See, I like, I guess chocolate and craisin would go together okay. But at the same time, really when you fun. Say the best cookie is, I'm just going to say, oh, peanut butter. Like, fuck
Samoas.
All those things.
They're Samoas.
Oh, yeah. Samoas are really good, too. And snickerdoodles.
All right. One last thing.
You
one
can
last
always
thing
win
on
my
the
heart
cookie
with
tangent.
A snickerdoodle. Okay. One last cookie tangent.
When I make black sesame cookies, you have to have one. They are like little goth peanut butter cookies.
You gave them to me once. They're really good.
I did?
Yeah. You brought them over. It was back when OLR, we were still doing it here, and you brought them over one
was
night. They're great. Yeah.
My little goth cookies?
Yes.
That matched
that turned
my soul.
Tongue black. Yeah.
Those are awesome. I'll make them again.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Let's move on. Completely different topic, although it does tie into... some activism things going on online. You might remember last week on the show, we talked a little bit about the day off of Twitch that's going to be happening on September 1st. So a little reminder for folks that is happening on September 1st, and many of your favorite streamers will be participating. But at the same time, there are other streamers that maybe cannot take the day off, whether it's due to their finances or the fact that they have a contractual agreement with some company to play the game on that day. So I think everybody needs to make their own decision and let other people make the decisions that are best for them. However, it
agreed.
Is... So, what's that?
I said agreed.
Oh, yes. However... With that, you know, when we were talking about all that, I talked about how there really isn't going to be pressure on Twitch until there is a competitor to Twitch. Now, I'm not about to talk about a competitor to Twitch directly, but this is fucking fascinating to me. So here it is. Streamlabs, who a lot of streamers use to, interestingly enough, do things that Twitch can't do. Right? So Streamlabs kind of adds things to the stream that Twitch doesn't natively do. Well, Streamlabs is also going to now be allowing streamers a way to make money that is monthly tipping. So it's a subscription, if you will, through Streamlabs. So you
I got an email about that because I already have the direct ship, tip jar.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's a way for streamers to set up a subscription service, and creators get 100% after PayPal takes their fees. So it's going to be a lot different than the 50-50.
I'm down for this.
Now, but here's the thing. So the Streamlabs creator subscription, that's going to probably be more appealing to people than Twitch's built-in service. But you should be aware, remember when you do the Twitch subs... you lose the ads and all that stuff. Streamlabs can't interface with that. So if you're selling subs through this, Twitch is not going to treat these people like Twitch subscribers because they're not Twitch subscribers. So any of those benefits that come with a Twitch subscription, such as ad-free viewing or extra emotes or emotes at all, that's not going to be available through this. So there is going to be a trade-off there. So I need to make that clear because I feel like that's an easy misconception when people are reading about this and going, oh, Streamlabs is competing with Twitch. Well, they're competing on that amount of the money you get front, but they can't compete on that technical front because Streamlabs isn't directly a Twitch competitor yet. That's me inserting that word. I have nothing further to go off of, but I can't help but wonder.
If Slots was worth actually freaking using, then maybe.
I can't help but wonder.
Nah, I don't think so. They don't have the infrastructure for it. But it is cool that they're doing that. It sounds to me it's almost like an alternative to Patreon versus, like, what you would get with Twitch. It's still something, though, that, like, they could basically try to, you know, say, hey, you want to, you know, contribute instead of, like, Patreon or something like that. You can do that through the Streamlabs thing, and then it'll be all integrated within Twitch or something like that, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Now, Tiger Claw brings up in chat, there are many places to stream to other than Twitch. Using a service like Restream, it gives you tons of places you can stream to other than Twitch. True. There are two problems with that. Number one, when you are a Twitch affiliate and you do decide to make money off Twitch, you're actually violating the terms with Twitch to automatically restream your content because you do say in that fine print that I 100% realize people are not playing by the rules. They're doing that at their own risk of peril, okay? But, like, for example, we don't simulcast to YouTube because it's part of the agreement that we're on Twitch for a 24-hour period. And then we can, you know, if we wanted to put a clip of the show on YouTube or whatever, we could do that.
Some of us are eventually trying to make partner.
Yeah.
So we absolutely don't want to ruin that.
I was also reminded when I talked about that there are no competitors to Twitch on last week's show, I was reminded offline that Facebook Gaming exists. And I'm going to stand by what I originally said on last week's show. There are no competitors to Twitch. Facebook Gaming, as far as I'm concerned, is a non-factor. And watch, I may have to eat my words in 5 years. But if you allow Facebook to take over the gaming space, you people are fucking fools. I said it. I said it. You know what? I know you're not supposed to say it, but I cannot stand Facebook getting into this gaming space and all of these other things. They can't keep misinformation and bullshit off their platform. I do not want that in the gaming space, period. So Facebook Gaming, as far as I'm concerned, is an illegitimate competitor. It is not going to get a seat at the big kids' table in my eyes. If you disagree with me, that's fine. And I'm sorry to those that work very hard to establish their Facebook Gaming channels. I personally think you made a poor business decision. So video games, they're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah. I have a few.
Anyway, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, the people who got lured in by Facebook Gaming in the beginning served the length of their contract and went right back to Twitch. Mike Def says, Facebook Gaming is big in other countries, though. Well, you know what? Friendster was big in other countries for a very long time. And that's no disrespect. I'm not trying to disrespect or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, people will gravitate towards one space. And my thoughts when it comes to Facebook Gaming is still the same. I don't care what country you're in. Facebook has no business getting in that space. Mike Def says so many people in Mexico don't know what Twitch is. But that's on Twitch to some extent there. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf points out LiveJournal is still big in Russia. I have a huge spot in my heart for LiveJournal. I met my husband on LiveJournal. I met Dark Sakura and Loki pretty much on LiveJournal. Even if we didn't meet, I may not have met them on LiveJournal, but our friendship was strengthened by LiveJournal, I think is a nice way to put it. You know, in the community that was there. Do I give a shit about LiveJournal in its current form? Absolutely not. Although, oh no, they didn't. It's fun to look at once in a great while. They got some good gifts. So that's it, you know? Yeah, and Bobby Blackwolf brings up that story about there's apparently a new young adult novel about a kid trying to find out who her mom is by finding her dad's live journal.
Wow.
And usually I read these tips after the show, but I have to acknowledge She-Hulk 10 donating 100 biddies. Thank you very much. But it's the comment for me where it says Pornhub gaming would be fun. Honestly, She-Hulk, honestly, I'm very surprised they haven't tried to enter the space. Maybe not directly, but Pornhub's got its subsidiaries. And Loki, you just said, you know, the Streamlabs can't get into the space because they don't have the infrastructure for it. Well, Streamlabs,
yeah, they do.
Meet Pornhub. Pornhub, meet Streamlabs. Now kiss.
Yeah, I can see that.
StreamHub. Perfect. Thank you, Orange Right. StreamHub. Porn Labs. Probably not. I think Orange Right might have the better name there, Pod Culture, for what they're trying to put on the space. But yeah. Anyway. Bobby Blackwolf points out there's already a triple X game streaming site, or at least there was. Yeah, again, a lot. And I'm well aware there are other competitors out there too, and I don't mean to shit on any of them except for one that I've already named. But some of these other ones that are like the up and comers, that's just, they're up and comers. And I stressed this on last week's show. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but just the whole fact that they don't have that path to make money easily laid out the way that Amazon-backed Twitch has right now, which is why people are still, when people just say, well, go to a different platform, people are like, no, this is our platform. This is where we've established our community. This is where I'm going to fight to make work, which is kind of what Dark Soccer is also referencing there. Like, in spite of all this, I'm going to make partner on this website, you know, and, you know, we're going to work with what we've got. Yeah, VG Realness in chat says Pornhub has the infrastructure to take out YouTube and Twitch, and they're sleeping on it. I 100% agree, VG Realness, and I'm wondering what it's going to take for them to get into that world.
Probably the whole content management stuff, because right now they don't have good relationships, I think, with their payment processors, because the whole issue with the you know, stolen content and all that stuff. So, like, if they can't manage that in just the platforms that they have now, then why add to that? Plus, they own, like, several, like, they own so many, like, streaming sites, like, outside of just, you know, the Pornhub stuff. There's, like, dozens, like, they pretty much own the whole thing. Like, all of the streaming services. Like, it's ridiculous.
Like, RedTube, is that them, too?
Yeah,
under a different
that's
name?
Them.
There's one that's shutting down at the end of the month or next month that is very similar, but it must not be part of Pornhub if it's closing. It's triple X,
yeah, it,
triple
they've
X
got,
something.
They've got the RedTube, TubeBait, Thumbzilla X. They have so many.
I'm sorry,
many.
Did you say
like
TubeBait?
Yeah, TubeBait.
Okay. All right.
They have like six different sites, so it's just ridiculous.
Interesting. All right. Enough talk about Pornhub, but I couldn't help but talk about that with the Streamlabs thing. So anyway, I didn't get to this, but I will say Streamlabs, also keep in mind, the tipping can be integrated into OBS, and OBS allows you to go to YouTube if you want, Facebook, TikTok. I didn't even know you could stream to TikTok.
Yeah, there's actually a guy I watch who does Minecraft. He does live streaming from TikTok and Twitch simultaneously.
Well,
so
maybe TikTok is eye in this space too. I don't know. Anyway, Streamlabs lets creators decide what they're basically selling with their subscription and set the price point on that. There's also going to be leaderboards, badges, and all that fun stuff there. But again, I can't stress this enough. It is outside of Twitch, so it's not going to disable some of those things that Twitch does with their subscriptions. So keep that in mind when you're weighing all these different options.
Well, I mean, they were talking about putting ads on, you know, people that subscribe to the channels too, haven't they? So, like, who knows what's outside of, you know, Twitch at this point?
Well, they better not until they fix some of the bullshit that Dark Sakura can speak to firsthand, because I know you had to deal with that bullshit in this past week. So until they fix that shit that's like still actively happening, I really would not do things to make people further teeter on the edge of leaving this site. So
yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's go back to a simpler time when we didn't stream games in our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick tonight, Dark Soccer?
I picked Picross DS. It is a puzzle game that was developed by Jupiter and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo DS. It is the second Picross game to be released. The first one was Mario's Picross, but it failed outside of Japan. There were a bunch more Picross games in Japan, but this one apparently did a bit better. So basically, you have different nonogram logic puzzles. With this is that you use these, you have to mark each square as full or empty, and it eventually reveals what the picture is. You can also, you know, create your own puzzles, send them to other people, download some classic puzzles, speed competitions using the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. Or you also have a daily and online challenge mode where you receive a hint that reveals one randomly selected row and column. It doesn't affect your player time. And three different kinds of background music can be selected, except in classic puzzle mode and the unlockable extra 11 extra puzzles. Or you can turn the music off. So you do have different modes. And by the way, the only one I could find without someone talking over it was a speed run. But at any rate, in normal mode, you if you mark a square, you get told to mark a square that should be unmarked. If your first mistake happens, you get a penalty of 2 minutes, the second 4, and each of the following mistake 8 minutes. You can choose from an easy mode that's 5x5 or 10x10 puzzles. It can go up to 25x20. So you have all kinds of just different things that you do. So you have different timed mini games. You can also unlock one called Catch, where one by one squares float around the grid and you have to tap them to clear the mode, or Sketch, where the top screen displays a picture and you have to copy it on the bottom screen. And then there's also Hit, where you hit squares and make them disappear. Once you have a certain number tapped, the mode is cleared. Your music choices are jazz, reggae, and bossa nova. You also have free mode. If you're not told when you make a mistake, they just get harder and harder to complete. You also have the mini games, but they're more difficult in free mode. And then in free mode, you get rock, house, and ambient for your music choices. So the game actually, with this one, it got a rating of 9.4 out of 10 by one reviewer. And it was basically ranked fairly high for a Picross game to be released since Mario's Picross. Like, Mario's Picross, it did get some pretty favorable reviews, but this one topped it. And so, you know, I just picked a little game. You know, it's something that maybe not a lot of people have a lot of experience in, that maybe it's something unique and different. There was, what's that game that Bobby had talked about before, Murder by Numbers or something? But that's kind of like this too. It's a Picross game. And me personally, I'm not the biggest fan of Picross, but it is a fun little time sink from time to time. Much better than Minesweeper. There you go.
Now, one thing I will say about the Picross, because you mentioned it kind of in the beginning and you just brought it up again as Mario Picross, that is one of the games that's on the Nintendo Switch library. They added it a little later. It wasn't in the initial set. So people might not realize it's there. But if you want to, like, sample a Picross game, that's a great place to start. Because obviously the DS games are a little harder to play now just because they don't really sell them for the Switch or anything. I mean, you can find a used copy at, you know, your local GameFlop or whatever. But I still think Mario Picross is worth a look. It's still quite good.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, there were other versions. Of course, Mario's P-Cross came out before that. Afterwards, Nintendo and HAL Laboratory did P-Cross 3D. There's also Essential Sudoku DS, which has, I guess, a P-Cross mode. And P-Cross E, which is Jupiter's other follow-up for Nintendo 3DS. But basically, P-Cross is based off of the concept of nonograms, which are logic puzzles that require you fill in the right things based on numbers.
Yep. So you can actually find nonograms in, like, those, you know, like, penny press puzzle magazines and things like that.
Yeah. So there you go.
There it is, your classic game of the week, P-Cross DS on the Nintendo DS. Great, great shout out. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out, I got into it, meaning P-Cross, with the Pokemon P-Cross free-to-play game on 3DS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that might have been the first one I played, too. There was a Zelda one as well, I remember, that was really good. So I checked that out, too. I don't know if that one was free. I can't remember. Bobby Blackwolf also points out there's a billion nonogram apps out there. Absolutely. You know, they're not called P-Cross, but they might be called, like, Picture Cross or something like that. So there's other ones. So very cool. All right. Great pick. I got to talk about this. So ready for a food tangent, everybody? So I had no idea that these were things that existed. But you know that Grandpa Matt or Captain Matt, depending on if you listen to Horde House or Starboard Power Coupling when those shows were around, for those of you that know him, he likes to send me all the pumpkin shit in the entire world.
I was wondering if that happened yet.
Well, okay, so here's what happened. I ordered some more masks for Dragon Con because I wanted to refresh my collection a little bit. So I ordered some more masks on Amazon. A certain package got here first, and I opened it, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it was a bag of pumpkin pie Kit Kats is what showed up, and it is part of Grandpa Matt's pumpkining thing he does. I do want to say—
The pumpkining.
The pumpkin spice lattes are back, and they are fabulous as always. However, with as much shit as I get for liking pumpkin and being called basic and all that stuff, I want to point out, they also rolled out an apple drink, that apple macchiato. It's pretty—
I told you this was coming out.
It's pretty fucking good.
That's what I hear, except I hate caramel. Is the caramel flavor strong?
Just order it without it, because I think it's the drizzle they put on top.
Yeah. So. Like, I was told to try the apple syrup in a chai.
Yes, and I think they do a frap with it as well, and I haven't tried either of that. Yeah. But yeah, the apple is a standalone syrup. So,
yeah, I'm probably going to be giving that a go tomorrow. Well, I normally do my pink drink because it's one of the things that doesn't make me sick.
Oh, yeah. I like the pink drinks, too.
But I really want to try the apple in a chai.
So Renee Yaz in our chat. Hi. It's so good to see you. Says pumpkin pie. And then I'm a slut for their apple drinks. I mean, same TBH. Like, with as much shit as I get for the pumpkin thing, I will do a lot for an apple drink as well. They are quite tasty. So say that.
I am not finding pumpkin spice Reese's on a...
You probably need to give it a few more weeks. It is still early in the pumpkin season. I am used to the pumpkin spice latte coming out the day I leave for Dragon Con. So I feel like it was a whole week early this year than usual. But yeah. So anyway, I'm going to enjoy one of these pumpkin pie Kit Kats, which are quite tasty. You know what they taste like? Pumpkin pie. Mm. And it's good because the wafer.
Oh, they're Kit Kats. Oh, I've had those before.
They're good.
The Japanese ones are better.
Pod Culture says there's an apple Mountain Dew coming out. That sounds like it might be pretty tasty. Anyway.
Yeah, I've had the pumpkin pie ones before, and I honestly truly believe that the Japanese kabocha ones were a lot better.
There's some great flavors in Japan. I'm excited that we're finally getting some of that shit in the U.S. It only took like 50 flavors of Oreos for other companies to catch on that, like, hey, people like wacky, zany flavors. So
there was another flavor that's out that I think that you would like, Rob. Banana caramel.
I love banana. Heck yeah.
They do have a banana, like, U.S. one that they're doing in the U.S., but one of the current Japanese flavors is banana caramel, and if I find it, I'll get you some.
Yeah. Pop Culture says there was a key lime Kit Kat that was awesome. Yeah, the key that was something that was around.
Those were pretty good.
There's a mint one. There was a some other flavor. Like,
I kind of dig the duos.
Yeah.
The mint and the mocha ones.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Enough food.
Yeah, I know.
Back to video games. But hey, you know what? I snack on a lot of Kit Kat bars. Well, I mean, well, not too many, but enough. While I'm playing video games. So let's travel around the world and quickly talk about some other things going on in the gaming world. Loki, we'll start with you. Loki, I think you're muted, which will explain why I heard you say not a thing about Kit Kats, which is unfortunate, but that's all right.
I don't really like Kit Kats.
What?
They're okay, I guess. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about April O'Neil coming to the new Ninja Turtles game. But she's also going to be coming to another game, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. So we have April O'Neil coming to that game as well as a fighting game character. And then Cat Dog also coming to that game as well. It's really shaping up to be a pretty awesome game. So
I'm not hearing Lori Beth Denberg, but or Moose from You Can't Do That on Television. I'm not hearing these Nickelodeon things yet, but
there's still time.
There's still time.
Yeah. So I never really watched Cat Dog, but like it is cool to see all these other characters coming to the game. So, I mean, let's keep it coming. I want to hear about all the characters and DLC and all that fun stuff.
Sounds good.
And then along with that, the LEGO Star Wars Skywalker Saga was something that they were showing off during Gamescom. And it is coming out next year now, sometime in spring of 2022 is when they announced that. They had a new trailer for that. Yeah, it looks cool. I never really played the LEGO Star Wars games. It was more of the LEGO Marvel stuff, but I have to check it out.
All right. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
There is a Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster coming out for computers and for mobile on, looks like, September 8th. It looks pretty cool. I definitely... I'm considering that one because I love it.
I love 4.
And then, I'm sorry?
I was just saying, I love 4. I hate that font in the remasters, but I might just have to suck it up and deal with it. I did hear through the grapevine, just random, that you, Spoony Bard, is still intact in the Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster, which is the most important part of the game.
It must be. So, at any rate... also, Horizon Forbidden West has been officially delayed until 2022. The date they are listing now is February 18th. There are starting orders for it, though. So there's that.
Nice.
What's their game then coming out this fall? Like, what Sony got other than Horizon?
I don't think there is one.
Flatulence?
I think they're relying on third party and just... The system did very well last year. I mean, with as many of them as you could find. So I kind of think they're just trying to ride that wave until, I mean, if you want to be technical, Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker is a PlayStation 5 title, and that's something that Xbox doesn't have. But of course, it's on PC, as we all know. But technically, that is a holiday title. So that's all I got. All right.
Well, I guess that's fine. There's no systems to be had, so, you know, why? Why bother putting out games to sell the system?
All right. And some of the folks in chat are giving me tips on my font issue with Final Fantasy. The Pixel Remasters, Fifth Dream says it's easily moddable. And Dark Tetsuya says you can swap the font for the one in the Japanese language version. It's much better. Now, that's I'm interested in that. So I'll have to look up how to do that. I think I will finally, you know, suck it up and buy at least the first game just to see what they're like and then make a decision from there if it's going to be worth it for the really the holy trinity of 4, 5, and 6. Let's be real. 2 and 3 are okay, but they're not 4, 5, and 6. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I think that was it for rapid fire news. So let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Things coming a little sooner than, I guess not that much sooner than the Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster. Sooner than the Final Fantasy VI Pixel Remaster. What's coming out next week, Loki?
So we've got a game called Lake that's going to be on PC and Xbox One. Bravely Default 2 on PC. Demon Gaze Extra on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. We have Kataria Fables on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. WRC 10 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have The Medium coming out on PlayStation 5. And that's it.
I didn't realize The Medium wasn't staying an Xbox exclusive. I thought that was a exclusive. I guess I was wrong.
Guess not.
All right. So I guess it was one of those limited windows or something. All right. Traveling to Japan. Checking out the Nintendo Switch this week. Demon Gaze Extra in a regular and limited edition is out in Japan this week on the Nintendo Switch, as is Port Royale 4. And then Big Rubble Boxing Creed Champions is out there as well. And that is pretty much all the releases on the Switch. However, peeking at the PlayStation 5, we have that same Port Royale 4 game is out there as well. And sadly, we don't really start to pick up releases. I'll just read this one for September 9th, because this is kind of a big deal. Tales of Arise is out on the PlayStation 5, and I kind of think that's the big tentpole release, but that'll be in the week that we're off. So that is something to look forward to for sure. Darksakura, how about the UK?
I'm going to do the 2 weeks worth.
Sure.
So we have on the 31st, Forgotten City. We have Rustler, and we have Kiwi. I guess that's how it's pronounced. And then it's K-E-Y-W-E, which it looks like they're little kiwi birds. So then in September on the 2nd, we have WRC 10. We have Arashi Castles of Sin, The Medium, Kitaria Fables, Rico London, Monster Harvest. And then on the 7th, we have Bus Simulator 21, Chernobyl Light on the 10th. Also on the 10th, WarioWare Get It Together.
Yes.
Big Rumble Boxing Creed Championships. Family Trainer. NBA 2K22. Tales of Arise. And that's it.
Loki, since Jamie and I did it, did you want to circle back to the U.S. and talk about the week that we're off? Because I think that Tales of Arise and WarioWare in that week, those are pretty big releases.
Yeah. So for the week of the 7th, we've got Chernobyl Light on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Fist Forged in Shadow Torch, that is on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Sonic Colors Ultimate on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Artful Escape on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Toy Soldiers HD on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Life is Strange True Colors on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. We have Lost in Random. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. NBA 2K22 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Tales of Arise on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. And last but not least, WarioWare Get It Together on Nintendo Switch.
All right, I'm glad we covered that week, because that's a huge week. I forget, the week after Labor Day tends to always be a big week for some reason. So it's kind of like the kickoff of the holiday season. It's as weird as it is to say that. I really feel like that first week of September is when you really start to see the releases start to amp up a little bit towards Black Friday. It's basically like between Labor Day and Black Friday are all your big game releases of the year. Well, not all, but a good probably 75%.
Well, it's like the start of the fourth quarter stuff.
Yeah.
So
you know. That too. So. All right, there you go for the world release dates. Let's get back into some other gaming news, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable, which, remember, we are taking calls on Discord again, so you can join our green room over at vognetwork.com/Discord if you want to call into the show tonight. But you also can speak up in our chat room, and then we'll see if we have any emails this week over at participate@orangelaunchradio.com. But first, more news. Loki.
Yeah, so South Korea is abolishing their gaming shutdown law. So the shutdown law banned children under the age of 16 years old from playing video games between 12 midnight and 6 a.m. in the morning, I guess to help them in school or something like that. And apparently companies could be fined if they allowed players to be able to do that. They were fitting that age range. So now they are going to be getting rid of that. It says, for youth, games are often important leisurely activities and communication channel. I hope that the preventative measures can respect the rights of the youth and encourage a healthy home education. So they're going to basically allow them to be protected through a choice system, which allows parents and their legal guardians to be able to permit and regulate the number of hours. So putting in the power or giving it to the families to regulate that, which makes sense. I mean, if you have, like, you know, kids, maybe they stay up late on the weekends to play that. I don't know if this is necessarily just during the week or if it's just every single day, but yeah, at least it's going away. So it makes it a lot easier for software companies as well.
Yeah, I was like, I might know one adult in here who is playing No Man's Sky at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. I mean, I'm an adult. I'll do what I want. But I also wonder if there's maybe some pandemic stuff that plays into that. I mean, I know these are younger kids we're talking about, like 16 and under, but I wonder if there's something about the whole, like, you know what? They're staying indoors playing video games. That's where we need kids to be right now. So I wonder if there's some of that playing into it, too.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pandemic-related things or things that we tried to blame or, I guess, pin on the pandemic, I want to go back to the Pokemon Go controversy. So we talked a couple weeks ago on the show about the controversy around the change of taking the stop radius spinning. So basically the radius that you have to be standing from a stop in order to be able to spin it. You may recall they increased that to 80 meters at the start of the pandemic. And a few weeks ago, they lowered that back to 40 meters, which basically pissed off a lot of the fans of the game that had gotten used to the 80 meter radius. Well, I'm going to admit this surprised me. It came out this week in a tweet. Pokemon Go app said in a tweet, "Trainers, we're looking forward to sharing our plans as a result of the task force on September 1st. Remember that? They're going to they put together that task force of YouTubers and influencers to talk about all this stuff. But they continue in the tweet. "But one thing does not have to wait. From now on, 80 meters will be the base interaction radius for Pokestops and gyms globally." So they did take that radius back to 80 meters. And I'm assuming the crowd rejoiced on that end of things. I'm sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop because they're still waiting. Like, they're still saying, we're going to announce the rest of the task force on September 1st. So I'm sort of waiting for that. And the radius is back to 80 meters, but we still got
to
make money off this game.
You have to buy an 80 meter pass in order to be able to.
No, because they've already implemented it back in the game. So there's no 80 meter pass or anything like that. But I'm still waiting for the. But if you spin it more than five times in an hour, congrats, all you're going to get are purple potions. Please enjoy them. Purple potions and the banana thing that's Nanab berries. That was the useless one.
Nanab berries.
Yeah, that's all you're going to get from those stops. Still waiting to see what that is. Going to our chat, because I know two of our big Pokemon pals are in chat. S200 Matt says, "I still don't believe this will be forever. Niantic really wanted to keep the 40-meter thing. Apparently, they got talked into it. I actually feel like this 80 meter is going to stick, but there might be. I still think there's another side to the coin, but we'll see." Mike Defton chat says, "Yay for the radius increase, but we definitely need to see what they say on September 1st. Yes. Let's wait for the. Let's keep the confetti cannons just stored away. You can ready them, but don't pull the trigger on the confetti cannons until we hear what else is changing about the game. Because it already was data mined. They were going to do this stuff with, like, powering up Pokestops and things like that. I'm just, what is the other half of this? I'm waiting to see. We'll see. All right. But I knew our Pokemon Go fans in the house would appreciate that. By the way, how many of you have been rating the new Zacian and Zamzenta, the Galar region, the Pokemon Sword and Shield legendaries? Is so weird to see in Pokemon Go already. But I picked up one Zacian. I wish I'd done more. I didn't do enough of those raids because, hello, you could transfer them to your Sword and Shield game through Pokemon Home, like the easiest way to get those legendaries. Gosh. So, yeah, I have a couple Zamzettas for now, though, or if I'm even saying that right. I'm probably not. I'm probably missing an N or something. But anyway, yeah, it's just weird. Mike Defton chat says, "I did my Pokedex registry, and that's it." Bonds 006 says, "Zamazenta, I got two of each." So there you go. Pod Culture says, "I need one." So yeah, it's try to look for those raids in your area. See if there's where I'll recommend Facebook. See if you have a local Pokemon Go Facebook group in your area. You probably do. And there's probably a Discord server for it too. And there's a lot of people to do raid organizing in those places. So it's probably the best way to find. And even if not, you can probably find, like, even though Sacramento as a whole, you know, there's like a million people in the region.
Sacramento as a whole uses Discord with Pokemon Go community, but like the locals here like to use GroupMe for some weird. It's like the worst of the messaging apps. I don't know why they like it, but they do. So that's where the locals are to look for raids. But I use there's actually a network of Ingress players that also play Pokemon that use Telegram to coordinate the remote raids, and that's what I use. That's how I got all those things that I have is using Telegram looking for raids. So. SG100 Map points out Poke Raider. That's right. They've built all separate apps and websites for the remote raid stuff, too. I always forget about that. Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, let's get to this story, which I think is kind of neat.
So, EA has patented accessibility options that are free for all developers and publishers to use in their game. In their games, plural. So these various patents, as they've been shared, are contextually aware communication systems in video games, which includes Apex Legends' ping system, systems and methods for automated image processing with images with similar luminosities. So those are for color vision deficiencies. Constant ratio detection and rendering system that allows... the system to automatically detect and update subpart contrast regions, again, for visibility, and personalized real-time audio generation based on user physiological response. So basically, this wasn't developed by EA yet. It's just been patented. But it would basically give clues based on how a player would hear. So they're really wanting to improve the ability of disabled people, I reckon, to be able to play games and enjoy them as much as an abled person.
Well, I think, you know, and I agree with Dark Tetsuya in our chat room. I know EA's done some scummy stuff in the past, but I can appreciate this. Yes, this is, you know, these types.
Why patent it, though, if they're not going to, I don't understand.
They're making it available for other people. They may have it in development, but they want to have the patent down first.
I guess.
They may have been worried.
That's normal.
Yeah, they may have been worried someone else would patent it, too, when they do want to include it in their own games. And they're trying to do that good guy EA thing, especially. I mean, I don't want to think this is the case, but I worry it may be. Especially when their biggest peers in the industry right now, Activision Blizzard and Ubisoft, like EA has kind of not been in that conversation, and I think that's where they prefer to be. So I think these sort of public interest, doing a good thing sorts of things are very good for EA right now, and they know it. So again, I want to believe it's not tied to that and it is completely separate and independent and just, you know, good guy EA. I don't know that I 100% put faith that there isn't some interesting timing going on with all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's a mite sus, yo.
Yeah. Sus, I think is a good way to put it. Regardless, let's try to focus on the end result, which is good thing. So, you know, sus or not, the end result is a good thing. So, all right, let's move on. Loki, let's go back to Saints Row, but for good reason. This is very upsetting for many people in the community.
Yes. So, unfortunately, like right after we got the announcement of the super lackluster Saints Row reboot trailer, we also got the announcement of one of the champions of Saints Row 2, and basically a community developer that's been working on Saints Row 2 for the longest time with Gentleman of the Row. He went by the name Idle Ninja. Well, his real name was Mike Watson, and while he was championing Saints Row and everything, he a while back actually announced that he was battling stage 4 cancer, and unfortunately he succumbed to that cancer.
Fuck cancer.
Around the same time as the announcement of the Saints Row reboot, he was actually solely working on Saints Row 2 and trying to bring that game back to a playable state. Because I don't know if you knew, but the PC version of Saints Row 2 was horribly rushed and broken, like completely broken.
Pretty sure you've bitched about it on this show.
Yeah, so apparently, you know, he was able to work on that game and actually was able to recover the source code for the game to be able to actually, you know, do a lot of things for it. And so now there's lots of different mods for it and lots of patches. You know, the Gentleman of the Row was something that he had put out and worked on for a long time that made the game actually playable. And unfortunately now, you know, it's like kind of one of the last, you know, people that was really kind of behind the whole Saints Row series and kind of leading in the right direction. But, you know, it's unfortunate they had to pass away.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that for his family and, you know, all the community that appreciated his contributions to the game. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, to try to end things on a bit of a lighter, positive note tonight, I thought we could take this on as our last slated story tonight, and that is a good old-fashioned make-you-feel-old story, and you can probably read it right there on the sidebar. Oh, but if you're in the podcast, no, you can't read it, so let me tell you and inform you and give you your old moment. You ready? How old were you when the Super Nintendo came out? Because add 30 to it, and it's your age now. The Super Nintendo turned 30 years old this week. The Super Nintendo, of course, launched back in 1991, if you can believe it. And I don't think it launched with a lot of games at the start. I know, by the way, and I should point out, the Super Famicom came out in November 1990. The U.S. launch was in the last weekend of August, right before all the kids go back to school in 1991. And I believe the launch games were Pilot Wings, F-Zero, and Mario World. And that was it. Even though some of the early trailers and some of the, you know, like, I didn't realize this. Did you know Paul Rudd, the ageless man behind Ant-Man and Clueless, the movie, you know, from very different decades. Did you know Paul Rudd was in that early Super Nintendo trailer? I didn't know that until...
Absolutely.
Or I forgot it, I guess, until this week. But in that first Super Nintendo, you know, they show a little bit of Pilot Wings, they show a bit of Mario World, but they also show early footage from Zelda and some football game. I think not the big football game, super high impact. I think maybe it was. I don't know. But anyway, they actually say in the trailer, these games are not out yet. But the other ones, you know, were, because Pilot Wings was a launch game. I will say one of my earliest memories of the Super Nintendo, I played it at a friend's house. And I remember playing Pilot Wings. And I was just blown away by the use of 3D. Because remember, guys, it was the early 90s. We didn't have, like, Mode 7... And what that gave us, which all Mode 7 is basically the 3D manipulation of a sprite. If you look at a Pilot Wing stage, it's a bunch of sprites strung together. But the way they rotate it, they make it look like a fucking, like, actual, like, that was the most, like, real life thing you'd seen at that point. That was incredible experiencing that for the first time. And in case you forgot, many people remember the airplane stuff in Pilot Wings and the skydiving, but don't forget Pilot Wings in the later stages had that fun as hell rocket pack thing. You remember that? There was something, they had the rocket pack. That was so awesome to play. And it wasn't really in any of the previews. So I think that was it. I think it was the plane, the skydiving, the rocket pack. And I think there was one other thing that showed up in some of the levels, but yeah. And then Questbuster says, I was playing F-Zero. F-Zero was also an incredible use of Mode 7, if you think about it. Those stages, all they are just a bunch of sprites together, like, lied down in a 3D form, and it was incredible. So, those were really impressive launch games. And y'all know I stan F-Zero, and I really wish they would release another F-Zero game, although I feel like Mario Kart's all we're going to get. But those were some strong launch games that did the Nintendo thing very well at showing off what the system could do. And then Mario World, of course, was just a rock fucking solid Mario game that showed off a lot of cool stuff. It didn't show it off to the extent that Pilot Wings and F-Zero did, but, you know, I think many people still remember that very first stage where the bullet that's like 8 times the size of Mario starts flying at you. And, of course, Yoshi, right? It was that. So, and honestly, that Mario game was so fucking good. Many people consider that the best Mario game. Usually it's a tight race between Mario 3, Mario World, and Mario 64. And I think a lot of it depends on your age and what Mario game you have memories with, but I digress. Yes, Tiger Claw says, another thing about Pilot Wings, when you make it far enough, there was a level where you fly a helicopter, I think, and you were bombing some targets. Yes, that was like a surprise twist, like way late in the game. Like, you have to get all the way to like stage 7 or 8. You're right, you're right. Oh, Bobby Blackwell says, no love for Gradius 3 or SimCity. That's right, SimCity was a launch title. No, I have a lot of love for SimCity. Gradius 3 was good, too. I didn't really honestly play that one a lot when it launched. But that's right, SimCity was Nintendo's take on a rock-solid PC title. And that was where they had Dr. Wright, right, based off Will Wright. And you could get the Bowser stat. No, it was Bowser instead of Godzilla. It was a Mario statue. It was a very, it's honestly, I think it's the best port of SimCity. Next to the CD-ROM with SimCity Action News, which we've parodied on this show before, it's probably the second best SimCity game. That's true. Questbuster in chat says, great music in Gradius 3. Sacred Jade says, I still have SimCity for the SNES. I'll stand it. And that's, you know what, it is, that version of the game has things no other versions of SimCity have. So, based on that Nintendo touch. So, that is something to consider. Yeah, Ultraman on the SNES points out Tiger Claw. That's right. So, it's just 30 years of memories on the Super Nintendo. It was a good time. And honestly, I don't know about you guys. I really think Super Nintendo was just the best system they ever put out. I still think the Super Nintendo holds up stronger than even, like, the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox. I just think the Super Nintendo was it. And maybe that's my age talking. I don't know.
And maybe the TurboGrafx in Japan, not in the US.
So, I don't know. Or maybe it's just because my love for Super Metroid is that deep. But y'all that are going to respond with Chrono Trigger, guess what? That was Super Nintendo 2. So how many consoles can say they have both Chrono Trigger and Super Metroid? I mean, the galaxy is at peace when you consider both of those things. We're on the Super Nintendo. Let's see. Ooh, all right. Let's see.
No, I still have that little bit of a cough. Sorry.
That's okay. Bobby Blackwell in chat says, the Chess Master was the first SNES game released not on launch day. Really? I didn't realize that. Let's see. And Bobby Blackwell says, Super Nintendo is my favorite console. And I won't read his other comment. He can go post that on Facebook Gaming. W04, he just sees dog and Super Metroid. W04 says, Blockbuster with a bucket of popcorn specials. Oh, yeah, talking about renting Super Nintendo games. Hell yeah, when you go rent the Super Nintendo games at Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or whatever. And then, yeah, you can get your bucket of popcorn and, you know, $4 candy. Absolutely. Ooh, Questbuster with another great early title. ActRaiser is another great game that I'm a huge fan of. I stayed up all night playing that one. And you know what? I can't think of a lot of things like ActRaiser in gaming. Maybe, I guess. But see, I can think of things that are like the sim part of ActRaiser, but the way that ActRaiser really blended those things together, I can't think of anything like that. I know I've talked about it on the show before, but the game that I got, so I didn't get my Super Nintendo on launch day. I think I ended up getting it that holiday or maybe the next year. But my parents had no idea what game to get me. So it came with Super Mario World, and they said that the person at the counter at Montgomery Ward where they got the Super Nintendo, I think that was it or something like that, recommended that they get Draken, D-R-A-K-K-H-E-N, which was a PC game that they had ported to Super Nintendo. It was okay. It did the 3D thing in an RPG environment, but I will say this. The sequel, Dragon's View, is great. That was one of those Blockbuster games I rented because I was like, eh, the first game was okay. I didn't love it. I did beat it eventually. But Dragon's View 2 is fucking great because it does more like side-scroller action stuff. It kind of does the ActRaiser thing a little bit, actually. So there is that. All right, let's get to the listener roundtable. So if you guys want to give us a call, you can head on over to the green room over at vognetwork.com/discord. Or we can do some emails, although I'm not sure we have any tonight, but I'll ask over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Do we have any emails tonight, Dark Sakura?
No.
No.
Just some spam.
All right. Well, I don't want spam. Send the spam back. If you would like to send us an email in a future week, participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to do it. I didn't see anyone in the green room either. Let me check in. Well, actually, I will also open it up for folks in chat. Folks in chat are still talking about Super Nintendo memories. Let me ask you guys. I mentioned that like Mario World and Draken were kind of like my first Super Nintendo games. What about you guys? What were like some of the first early Super Nintendo memories? Although, Dark Soccer, were you a Genesis household? I can't remember how this went.
I was a Super Nintendo household.
Okay. Okay.
Jan had the Genesis.
You are the lucky kid on the block.
After he and I got together long past when I was a child.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, Darsako, what were your early Super Nintendo memories?
Playing Home Alone with my brothers. Kicking them out of, actually putting the Super Nintendo in my bedroom and kicking them out so I could play Legend of Zelda. Lots of turn-taking in Super Mario World. And trying to figure out Blastress with the Super Scope. We had a Super Scope.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Loki, what about you?
I don't know.
Kirby's Avalanche with my ex.
I had Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally because that was the game I picked for some reason. I think probably because that was the only game that the store had because I had sold my ColecoVision and Nintendo to get a Super Nintendo. And so I got, I think, Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally, and then I don't remember any other games I got, but I had a lot of friends I borrowed games from, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably that game, and then like, you know, Link to the Past and Final Fantasy VI, three, I guess. Yeah, those are probably the games I remember.
Oh, God, when Final Fantasy II came out, you know, here in the U.S., number four was number two in the U.S. When that game came out, I remember asking for that for Christmas, and I got it, and I know it was not a cheap game. I played that so many hours I lost in that game. That game was incredible. And then, of course, when 3 came out, I lost a lot of hours in that one, too, that's for sure. But then I think, like, God, the Super Nintendo was the system that brought us Street Fighter. Remember when they released Street Fighter on the Super Nintendo? And it really was, like, for us at the time, it really was arcade perfect. Even though, of course, you go back through another lens now and you kind of look at it and you go, eh, it did have its issues. Like, it wasn't quite as crisp as the arcade. But it was damn good. Yeah, it was damn good.
Considering what we got as what passed as arcade perfect back in the day, you know, with, like, you know, some of the stuff that was on earlier systems, I think that was acceptable for that, and especially that in like Mortal Kombat or something.
I was
like
just
that.
About to bring up Mortal Kombat, which came out on good old Mortal Monday, because video games didn't seem to have a regular release day back in the day. Mortal Kombat was also on the Super Nintendo. Now, I think a lot of people noticed it did move a little sluggish more, but the graphics were very good. Like, it looked a lot like the arcade version, except, oh yeah, that whole issue with the sweat versus the blood, and that was a huge deal back in the day, was that, wow, this is arcade perfect, except for one thing. The thing that most of us associate Mortal Kombat with. But that was, you know, that was the big thing going on. Yeah, that's true. Then Tiger Claw points out, when the original Mortal Kombat came out on the Super Nintendo, the first one wasn't perfect, but when they released Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo, this was the first time they had blood showing on the Super Nintendo. That's right. I keep forgetting Mortal Kombat 2 came out on the Super Nintendo, but yeah, that was a really good translation of that game too, and yeah, I had the vote, because at that point, now you had the ratings were established. The ESRB was established, so Nintendo was willing to put out those games now because they had those warning labels on them and kind of that general system that was in the U.S. So yeah, Mortal Kombat 2 had all that blood, so that was a pretty big deal. Mortal Kombat 3 then moved on to PlayStation. I don't think that ever came out on Super Nintendo, because I think they kind of upped the... although I don't think the graphics were that much better than 2, but I guess maybe the stages when you, like, because Mortal Kombat 3 was when you could, like, knock somebody down onto the ground or up through the ceiling or whatever, things like that. So it kind of did stuff there. Oh, did it? Okay, sorry. Sacred Jade said Mortal Kombat 3 did come out for Super Nintendo. I guess I only remember it on PlayStation. So, all right. I forgot about that one. Interesting. But then Mortal Kombat 4 went 3D. I know that one was Super Nintendo. Bobby Blackwolf in chat pointed out that Frogger was the last release on the Super Nintendo. And my brain went, oh, they must have, because that PlayStation Frogger was very popular when it came out. They must have done a port for that for Super Nintendo. Actually, no, it turns out. It was just a different type of Frogger game, actually. So, interesting. All right. Let's go to any last-minute stories that Loki might have tonight.
I don't have any.
Oh, all right. We covered everything, huh? All right, let me see. I'm going to go to our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord, and I just want to check in real quick because you guys post a lot of good stories throughout the week in the Orange Lounge radio channel. So, oh God, I saw this earlier today, and this cracked me up, and maybe you'd like this too, Loki. Dungeon Buster posted in our Discord the no Skyrim mod, and it does just what the name suggests. It stops banned. You from playing Skyrim. When you boot it up to start a new game, it simply won't let you.
No.
What a stupid idea, but I love it. That's the mod for Dark Sakura, no Skyrim.
What?
It's a mod called No Skyrim, and that's what the mod does is exactly that. When you try to start a new game of Skyrim, it won't let you.
Okay. How about I've never actually played through a whole game of Skyrim?
You should
No one ever does.
No one, yes, true. It's a very long game.
What time do I have for that? I've got Dead by Daylight to play. Level. Yeah.
All right. Let's see some other stories that have been posted. Oh, I thought this was interesting. 13X Forever posted a tweet that good old games updated 5 old ass Konami titles on PC. But this also is a reminder. Some of these games were ported to PC and you may have forgot, including the Castlevania and Contra collection. I used to play that on GameTap just to not age myself too much, but maybe a little bit. Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2. Silent Hill 4 The Room. I forgot that got a PC port, but it did. And the original Metal Gear, I forgot that is based off the MSX version, not the Nintendo. They actually translated the MSX version. So I didn't even realize that was something I could buy. So I might get that. So yeah, they patched all those titles this week. Why? Because they wanted to support modern controllers. So all of these games now support like PlayStation controllers and Xbox One gamepads and stuff. And the key bindings are a little different and things like that. I thought that was really neat that those games. It was a good reminder, like, hey, if you want to play like the actual original Metal Gear, even though we associate the NES version a lot of times with that, you can check that out on that version of the game, which will now work with your current controller. Awesome. I think that I'll leave it at that for now. A lot of these other things you guys posted, we did cover on the show at some point, but I thank you guys for bringing those to our attention in Discord anyway. And I think with that, we are towards the end of the show. So I'll go around and get final thoughts in just a moment. But first, as always, I want to thank you guys for downloading Orange Lounge Radio and participating with the show. Whether you did that live, you were downloading the video live as we were doing it, or if you listen to us on the podcast feed later in the week, I really want to thank you for making Orange Lounge Radio a part of your week. I said it at the top of the show, I'll just remind everybody again, we will not be here next week over the Labor Day weekend since I will be out of town. And I think a lot of people have their own plans going on anyway. Dark Sakura will be streaming though, if you want to still hang with somebody.
It's the night for Debbie Delight.
All right. And I hope to come back in a couple weeks and talk a lot about some of the awesome things I heard at Dragon Con and some of the panels. Hope to meet a lot of great people there. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, what can we do? So please help us spread the word. Auto host for Vogue Network here at Twitch goes a very long way. So thank you for everybody that does that. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can check out our shop, vognetwork.com/shop, and you can pick up some good looking clothes for yourself to wear to conventions or wherever you like, the grocery shopping, wherever you want to take it, such as, and I'm surprised nobody pointed this out yet, but I will point out, I am wearing the Dark Sakura and Loki haven't pointed it out because they can't actually see me unless they're watching the Twitch feedback.
Which I am.
We have, okay, the way
I did,
we have
I saw
up.
It. I just so,
So I am wearing that new Vogue Network logo design that's a little bit like Jet Set Radio or 80s-esque that Dark Sakura put together a couple months ago. So I am wearing that new. And you can check that out over at VogueNetwork.com/shop if you want to. After the show, I have to put this right back in the wash so I have it ready for Wednesday when I leave because I want to wear this. I actually have like 4 Vogue shirts for the 5 days of Dragon Con. I guess Monday I'm going to just wear normal clothes, I guess. So, yeah, there it is over at VogueNetwork.com/shop if you want to check out this shirt that I'm wearing on the Twitch feed or for the podcast, folks. You want to see what I'm talking about. It's over there on the shop. Let's check that out. Yeah, there's all different styles of the shirt. I like the baseball jersey. Even though the long sleeves aren't always awesome for California, I will say it will be lit in a couple months when we're finally past the summer. And I went to San Francisco today, and this shirt was perfect because it's still – easy breezy in San Francisco. So there's that.
For sure.
All right. Now we can get final thoughts. And Dark Soccer, I know you're going to head off to start the murder party. So what is your final thought for us tonight?
Don't be a dick.
Good call. I appreciate that. All right. Have a good one, Dark Soccer. Bye. Let's see. My final thought for tonight is I'm really looking forward to getting out of the house for the first time since March and going on a trip. So, you know, obviously, you know, with the Delta variant and everything, I can't say I'm not 100% nerve free, but I appreciate that there are lots of people, including the convention, taking precautions. I think that everything's going to be just fine. But if you haven't been vaccinated yet, please do that. As you probably heard, the Pfizer vaccine got the full FDA approval. So if you were holding out on that, there it went. There's your excuse. I still, it blows my mind how people are like, I don't want to take an experimental vaccine, but I'll inject myself with animal drugs that haven't been proven to be used. I do not understand that logic whatsoever.
Worked on the animals.
I understand I'm going to have political differences with people. But I would think those political differences would come down to like, should the governor be recalled? And in my opinion, no, he shouldn't. No. And don't forget to vote. But that's my opinion. And people are going to disagree with me there. At least I can understand that disagreement a little more. I understand how the governor ticked people off. That one I get a little more than I'm not going to take a vaccine. I'm going to inject myself with a cow drug. That I don't get. So I don't know. I don't know when that shit became political or why. Well, I do, but it should never have gotten that way. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Loki, let's go to you last but not least in your final thought.
I played laser tag today. I'm surprised that the place isn't closed down yet. And they actually, within the 2 years time that they had to fix all the stuff, they did hardly anything. So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And Bobby does point out you did leave the house. Yeah, we missed a show because I went out to Idaho at one point. Yeah, for me, that felt a lot different, though, because I was going to, like, my friend's house. It's just my friend's house was 10 hours away. I wasn't hanging out in, like, a big, big crowd of people. But I get it. Fair point. That's fine. And somebody did get COVID after that trip. So it might not be it wasn't me, but it might not be the best comparison. And Tiger Claw in the chat says, and don't forget to take a shower before going to the con. I take a shower every morning, even during a convention. Thank you very much. I feel gross and sweaty if I don't take a freaking shower in the morning. So I can't live my con life like that. Also, you all know by now that we splurge on a suite at Dragon Con. We spend the extra money. Don't worry, it's not the money. We spend our own money, Bobby Blackwolf and myself, on getting a suite at Dragon Con. And the reason why we do it is so that it's like we're not cramped in a room with 4 or 5 people. I've done that. I know many of you still do that. But it's nice to just have space and just be like, I'm going to just... You know, there's not 6 people I'm trying to fight for the shower with. I can do that. You know, it's very easy. We like doing the cons that way. But if you didn't know, we were actually grandfathered into that suite by the incredible Travis Donovan, formerly of Understation Live, who was a legacy room holder at the Hyatt. And basically he kind of ended up transferring that because he stopped going to Dragon Con for a couple of years. He kind of transferred that to me, and that's where the Vogue Network suite
comes from. Yes, and Bobby Blackwell says your subs and bits do not pay for the suite. Yes, I want to make that very clear. That is not what, because legal fees and the legal thing to run this network, yes. Appearances and promotion at other conventions, yes, but not that. I don't want people to get that idea. So because that would be very, very bad optics, and we know that. Yeah, S200 Matt says, yeah, I'm too old for the cramming 10 people into a two-queen room for con thing. Just want a bed in my own space. Look, I don't begrudge anyone who does do that, because I know plenty of people that still do that. That's fine. That's a great life for you. It's just not a great life for me. Anyway, that's it. That's enough. We're going to see you guys in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you next time on Orange Lounge Radio. Happy gaming. Happy whatever you do over the next 2 weeks. Enjoy WarioWare and all the games coming out. Have a good couple weeks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.